North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco & Brew.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Do you like your web history being seen and sold to advertisers? No? Me neither. Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, it's been labeled the big lie, the idea that Donald Trump actually won the 2020 election thanks to voter fraud and the attempts by the left to create an almost global conspiracy to deny him the presidency. The folks who suggest that Donald Trump won the 2020 election, one of the reasons they suggest that is because they say, well, the left had the motive, the means, and the opportunity. And that is the argument that I have heard. And it is the strongest argument that they make. Because the truth is that there's no way to prove that Donald Trump actually won the 2020 election based on the vote count. There's no way to actually show that fraudulent voters were present in the sort of numbers that would have overturned the results in many of these states. The best that you can say in favor of the idea that the 2020 election was rigged is that it was sort of informally and generically rigged, in the sense that the media denied people the access to the information that would have needed to change their votes, in the sense that the rules were actively changed in some cases, like in Pennsylvania, against the Constitution of the state of Pennsylvania in order to make it easier for people to vote absentee. It's possible to say that ballot harvesting creates the massive possibility of voter fraud. Right? All of those things can be true. The actual notion that Donald Trump won based on he definitely had enough falsified ballots that he could have proved, or the ballots we can show were shipped in the middle of the night and people were in the back room punching holes in the chads, that sort of proof wasn't present. But the argument that is the most, I think, strong and convincing from the right, from those who argue this point of view, if you're trying to steel man the argument, is that the left has the motive, means, and the opportunity to steal elections, and so why wouldn't they? And the idea here is that they had the means, right? The means would be, you know, the broadening of the voting procedures and the ballot harvesting. They had the opportunity because people were voting for months in advance. And they had the motive. And the motive is really, I think, the thing that people are latching onto. The motive is really what is driving polarization in our politics. Because it used to be, when people say, you know, why don't people accept the results of elections anymore? And this is bipartisan. Why don't people accept the results of elections anymore? The answer is because it used to be in this country that you would suggest, yeah, no matter how much I hate the other guy, I don't have the motive to steal an election. Right? To steal an election means that I truly believe that the country is at an end if we don't steal this election. If I don't subvert the democracy, then the democracy is gone. And the argument in favor of subverting a democratic election is, if I don't do this, catastrophe occurs. And you can see times in human history where that argument could be made. Now, the communists are about to take over in a particular place. And so the CIA has to get involved to prevent Stalin from taking over Italy. And that argument was made in the 1950s, for example. And you could make the argument with regard to Hitler. Hitler is about to take over in Germany. You do everything you possibly can to stop Hitler from taking over in Germany, if you have a time machine, right? Any means at your disposal is useful and good because, after all, he's Hitler. But what has separated America historically from all of this is the idea that if the guy from the other party gets elected, it's bad, it's unpleasant, it's really bad for the direction of the country. Politics has consequences, but it is not so bad that you have the motive to steal the election. You wouldn't have the motive to undermine an election itself, to destroy election integrity. Increasingly, as we have seen in recent years, the feeling on both sides of the aisle, but particularly on the left side of the aisle, is that anything necessary in order to prevent Republicans from gaining power is justified. Republicans are evil. Republicans are terrorists. Republicans are the worst people in the entire world. Donald Trump is Orange Hitler and all the rest. And if we have to subvert elections by suppressing information, then we will. And so what that leads is people on the right say, okay, well, obviously you have the motive to do this. So if I thought you had the means and the opportunity, I think you'd probably do it, right? Okay, so this comes to a head thanks to some comments made by somebody I'm friendly with, Sam Harris. So Sam Harris is a pretty interesting thinker. He's one of the new atheist crew. He's written all of these books about how atheism is morally superior and about how truth is the most important value. And Sam and I have had a couple of podcasts together. I had him on the Sunday special a few years back. He had me on his show. We debated things like God and free will. It was really interesting sort of stuff. Sam is very much of the left, and he's definitely a Democrat voting person. And apparently he believes, and this is why this is so telltale, because Sam is not a wild leftist. Sam is not somebody who's a radically left person. Sam tends to be left of center on a lot of issues, but he's not somebody who I would characterize as like a woke radical leftist or something. That's not, he actually is not. So he was on a podcast called Trigonometry, and he made some comments that I think totally throw gasoline on the flaming, raging fire of election denial and on the raging fire that's going on in terms of polarization in the country. The belief that there are, in fact, people who are willing to create conspiracies in order to deny the proper results of an election, or even willing to subvert elections entirely. Now, Sam tried to walk this back yesterday a little bit on Twitter. I don't think he did a very good job of it. But these comments went viral for a reason, because they support the idea that so many people have about people on the left, that people on the left, if they had the chance, would steal an election from Donald Trump. So here is Sam Harris a couple of days ago on Trigonometry. Again, this went totally viral yesterday.
I mean, Hunter Biden, at that point, Hunter Biden literally could have had the corpses of children in his basement. I would not have cared, right? It's like, there's nothing. First of all, it's Hunter Biden, right? It's not Joe Biden. But even if whatever scope of Joe Biden's corruption is, like if we could just go down that rabbit hole endlessly and understand that he's getting kickbacks from Hunter Biden's deals in Ukraine or wherever else, right, or China, it is infinitesimal compared to the corruption we know Trump is involved in. It's like a firefly to the sun, right? I mean, like it doesn't even stack up against Trump University, right? Trump University as a story is worse than anything that could be in Hunter Biden's laptop, in my view, right? Now, that doesn't answer the people who say it's still completely unfair to not have looked at the laptop in a timely way and to have shut down the New York Post's Twitter account. Like that's a left-wing conspiracy to deny the presidency to Donald Trump. Absolutely it was. Absolutely, right? But I think it was warranted. Right. And again, it's a coin toss as to whether or not,
Sam, I'm sorry,
that particular piece.
I'm really sorry. I was the one that said we should move on. But you've just said something I really struggle with there, which is
the kids in the basement.
No. The kids in the basement. I'm interested in democracy. You're saying you are content with a left wing conspiracy to prevent somebody being democratically reelected as president.
Well, no, I'm content. Well, but the thing is, it's just not left wing, right? So Liz Cheney is not left wing, right? Liz Cheney is doing everything in her power.
You're content with a conspiracy to prevent somebody being democratically
elected. But there's nothing conspiracy. It's not. It was a conspiracy out in the open. But it doesn't matter if it was. It doesn't matter what part's conspiracy, what part's out in the open. I mean, I think it's like if people get together and talk about what should we do about this phenomenon. You know, if there was an asteroid hurtling toward Earth. And we got in a room together with all of our friends and had a conversation about what we could do to deflect its course, right? Is that a conspiracy?
I mean, that's an amazing statement there from Sam Harris. So he openly says, okay, so there are people who are complaining that the Hunter Biden laptop story was suppressed by the media, right? So he's not even talking right now about election fraud. He's talking about what sort of information could and should be suppressed in order to effectuate an election win for Joe Biden. And he even says, what if on that laptop had been the stuff that a lot of right-wingers suspect about Joe Biden, which is that he was getting direct kickbacks from Hunter Biden for corrupt activities in Ukraine and China, right? Because that is the gravest accusation on the laptop. Forget about Hunter Biden smoking crack off hookers' asses and all the rest. The stuff that people really are concerned about with regard to Joe Biden is not the fact that Hunter Biden is a drug-addicted derelict and a horrible person. The thing that people are really concerned about in terms of the presidency is, was Hunter Biden traveling overseas to China, receiving massive amounts of money from the Chinese government, and then kicking back 10% to the big guy being Joe, right? That would actually be really troubling, because that would be significantly worse than anything that was even proved about Donald Trump, right? Like, way worse. That was the actual accusation about Trump. The accusation about Trump was that Trump was in thrall to the Russians, that Trump had basically made a trade with the Russians that they would subvert the election, and in return, he would be really, really nice to them, because if they did that, then they would also greenlight the Trump Hotel in Moscow. Or that he had a deal with Deutsche Bank, some financial deal that would allow some sort of kickback where he was being enriched personally by the Russians in order to effectuate different American policy toward Russia. And that was the accusation about Trump. It was never proved. Nothing of that kind was ever really even alleged by the Mueller report. All of it ended up being bullcrap. But what he's saying, what Sam Harris is saying, is even if that stuff were true about Joe Biden and China, or Joe Biden and Ukraine, if it turned out that Joe Biden is everything we said Donald Trump was, but could never prove, that still would not justify allowing information to flow freely to the American people. It would not allow people to see that information, because it's so important to stop Trump, right? Trump is so bad. He's an asteroid hurtling toward Earth that it doesn't matter what you have to do to stop that asteroid. It doesn't matter if you call it a conspiracy, not a conspiracy. None of that matters. The idea here is that you have to mold the minds of the American people to prevent Donald Trump from being president of the United States. Now, Sam Harris tried to then walk this back a little bit on Twitter, and I want to be fair to Sam by reading what he actually said here. He says, there's a podcast clip circulating that seems to be confusing many people about my views on Trump, which is understandable because I wasn't speaking very clearly. So, for what it's worth, here's what I was trying to say. I was essentially arguing for a principle of self-defense, where there's a continuum of proportionate force that is appropriate and necessary to use. I've always viewed Trump as a very dangerous person to elect as president of a fake university, let alone the United States. And when he became a sitting president who would not commit to a peaceful transfer of power, I viewed him as more dangerous still. However, I've never been under any illusion that he's Orange Hitler. On the podcast, I was speaking narrowly about the wisdom and propriety of ignoring the Hunter Biden laptop story until after the election. I've always thought that this was a very hard call, ethically and journalistically. Now, right there, he gives away the game. What makes that a hard call, ethically and journalistically? And why? Again, he says in the clip, and what he's saying is, it doesn't matter how corrupt Joe Biden is. He could be any level of corrupt, right? On Hunter Biden's laptop could have been proof, direct, that Xi Jinping sent hookers, blow, and $10 million directly to Joe, not Hunter. And that would have been worthy of ignoring, because that's how bad Donald Trump was and how scary Donald Trump was. This is a hard call, ethically and journalistically. But given what happened with the Anthony Weiner laptop in the previous election, I think it was probably the right call. So, again, that's an amazing statement, because what happened, if you recall, in the last election cycle is that there were serious questions about how Hillary Clinton had treated classified information as Secretary of State. And she had stored a bunch of classified information on her laptop, and then when she was subpoenaed for all this information, she bleach bit her servers and destroyed all the information. And Anthony Weiner's laptop, in a separate investigation of Anthony Weiner, came up, and a bunch of Hillary's emails basically found their way onto Anthony Weiner's laptop, because after all, she was married to Huma Abedin. Huma Abedin was very close with Hillary Clinton. She was one of her top aides. And so he's saying that because the Anthony Weiner laptop story ended up effectuating a move toward Donald Trump in the last days of the 2016 election, and so Donald Trump ended up winning, it would have been better that that story were suppressed. Right? This story should be suppressed. That story should have been suppressed. And note, he's saying that before Donald Trump had been president. So the notion that between 2016 and 2020, Trump proved himself to be so dangerous, it was about election denial, that he proved himself so dangerous in July, August, September, October of 2020, that you could not allow him to remain as president of the United States. It's not about that. I mean, Sam is openly saying now that he, if he had a choice, would go back and have suppressed the Anthony Weiner laptop information. That's 2016, before Trump has done any of this kind of stuff. He says, nothing I said on the podcast was meant to suggest that Democrats would have been right to commit election fraud or to take other illegal measures to deny Trump the presidency, nor do I think they did that. But I don't know why the principle doesn't hold. So, according to Sam Harris, there's a continuum. The continuum goes from suppressing open stories by the New York Post that affect the election to openly just shoving fake ballots into boxes. He says, I'm not going to do the latter thing, but suppressing the former thing, that I'm kind of okay with. I'm kind of okay with denying Trump the presidency. But here's the problem. Once you're on that continuum, that's not just a slippery slope. You're going to have to explain the principle. Why is Donald Trump so dangerous that you can shut down the ability of people to distribute true information about Joe Biden in order to prevent Joe Biden from losing? But he's not dangerous enough that you're actually willing to stuff ballot boxes. Like, explain to me how that continuum works. I mean, Sam says it's a continuum. So how does that continuum work? So a lot of conservatives suspect there is no continuum. A lot of conservatives suspect that this is completely ad hoc. That if in the secret recesses of the Democratic halls of power, they had the ability to actually stuff ballot boxes, they would do it. And that if you're openly saying, the part you say out loud is, I'm willing to shut down the New York Post distribution of Hunter Biden stories, the stuff that you're really saying in the back of your mind is pretty much anything that we have to do to deny Donald Trump the presidency, we are willing to do. So why should I believe you when you say that the election was carried out in fair and decent fashion? And that is the thinking of a lot of people on the right side of the aisle. Now, again, that doesn't prove that the election was stolen. It proves motive. It doesn't prove means and opportunity. And it certainly doesn't prove that it actually even happened. Because, again, the states that we are talking about that actually certified their ballots were all run by Republicans, right? You had a Republican legislature in Pennsylvania. You had a Republican legislature in Arizona and a Republican secretary of state and a Republican secretary of state in Georgia and a Republican governor. Also in Arizona, you had a Republican governor, right? So, like, the notion that this, that the mere presence of the motive proves that the thing happened is not true. And many people have terrible, terrible motives with regard to other people. It doesn't prove that they committed any crime against that person. However, it's the motive that is really undergirding the complete separation in the United States, the complete polarization in the United States. And that lack of trust is tearing us apart on an institutional level, tearing us apart because you believe the minute that guy gets access to the levers of power, you know what he thinks. You know his motive. So if he gains access to the sword, what you suspect is that he's going to use it. And that's incredibly dangerous. That's why people are so fired up, for example, about the FBI raid. Because the idea here is we know that you guys hate Donald Trump. We know you despise him. We know that you spent 4 years going after him for a bunch of garbage with regard to Russia. And now you have control of that sword again. So why should we believe you that you are using that in fair fashion when you've made very clear that you don't wish to use that in fair fashion? People have these suspicions about, for example, big tech. And they should have those suspicions about big tech. All right, so you heard Sam Harris say the quiet part out loud, that they are willing to basically subvert information for the purpose of winning an election. So the real question is, what else are you guys willing to do? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Sam Harris said out loud on a microphone in front of millions of people, he said that he was willing to see stories suppressed by a conspiracy in order so that Trump wouldn't win. So this raises the question for a lot of people on the right. So now I'm supposed to believe you when you say that the election was not rigged? Right? When you say, yeah, I'm willing to cheat with regard to this thing, but over here, that's too much cheating for me. Why should I believe you? You've now said that you're willing to cheat. So why, you're talking to me, right? You're not talking in the recesses with your friends. So why? That motive question is so dangerous in America. Like, so I'm one thing that I really despise in American politics, and it happens again on both sides a lot, is what we call emotivism. Emotivism is the idea that somebody makes an argument, and instead of you arguing with the argument, you argue with the motive of the argument. You attribute a motive to the person, and then you argue with the motive. You see this happen all the time in, for example, gender ideology. You see it happen, Matt Walsh, when he did his fantastic documentary, What is a Woman? He would go around, and he would ask a bunch of gender theorists, what is a woman? And their first question back to him would be, why are you asking? Why are you asking? Right? They don't want to engage with the question or the argument, and so they go immediately to, you're malicious. You're bad. Your motives are evil. Right? I don't like that kind of politics. I think that kind of politics generally stinks. I think politics should be about the argument itself. But when you make clear the motive, when you say the motive out loud, now it's about your motives. I mean, it's not my fault. You're the one who made it about your motives. When Sam Harris says, yeah, my motive is I am willing to suppress information to prevent Donald Trump from winning. And I think that's an easy moral call because Trump University is worse than if Joe Biden took cash from China. Like, first of all, Then at that point, it is your motive that's on the table. And once the motives are on the table, very difficult to put that genie back in the bottle. And so, yes, people are very fearful that the institutions of power in the United States have been infected with these motives and that it has poisoned all those institutions. Start with big tech. So there's a very good piece in the Wall Street Journal a couple days ago from our friend Vivek Ramaswamy and Jed Rubenfeld of Yale talking about Alex Berenson. So Alex Berenson, he's now back on Twitter after being banned for nearly a year over COVID-19 misinformation. Last week, the former New York Times reporter settled his lawsuit against the social media company, which admitted error and then restored his account. The First Amendment doesn't apply to private companies like Twitter, Berenson wrote last week on Substack, but because the Biden administration brought pressure to bear on Twitter, he believes he has a case his constitutional rights were violated. He is correct. So what exactly happened here? Well, Berenson went through the discovery process in suing Twitter, and that discovery process confirmed that the White House has been secretly asking social media companies to shut down the contents of specific prominent critics of administration policy. On July 16, 2021, a reporter asked President Biden, quote, on COVID misinformation, what's your message to platforms like Facebook? And Biden replied, quote, they are killing people. Later that day, Twitter locked Berenson's account. On August 28th, it banned him permanently. Last Friday, Berenson published conversations from an internal Twitter Slack channel referring to an April 2021 meeting with White House officials. One Twitter employee noted that the meeting overall was pretty good, but added the White House had one really tough question about why Alex Berenson hasn't been kicked off the platform. Another employee asked, any high-level takeaways from the meeting? Anything we should keep an eye out for? The first employee responded, yes. They really wanted to know about Alex Berenson. The employee wrote that Andy Slavitt, then a senior White House COVID advisor, quote, suggested they had seen data that had showed that he was the epicenter of disinformation that radiated outwards to the persuadable public. Berenson was not the only target. At a July 15th, 2021 meeting, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said, quote, we're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spreads disinformation. There's about 12 people who are producing 65% of anti-vax misinformation on social media platforms. This is a reference to the so-called Disinformation Dozen, 12 named individuals identified in a report by the UK-based Center for Countering Digital Hate, a report that Facebook disputed, even as it said it had taken action against the targets. Psaki went on to say that 12 of them remained active on Facebook, despite some being banned on other platforms, including ones that Facebook owns. At the same briefing, Surgeon General Vivek Murthy called on social media companies to purge more COVID posts. He said, we're asking them to consistently take action against misinformation super spreaders on their platform. And a week later, Nick Clegg, a former UK deputy prime minister and now Facebook parent Meta's president for global affairs, emailed Murthy to thank him for meeting with Facebook and to report on the steps we took just this past week to further address the disinformation dozen. We removed 17 additional pages, groups, and Instagram accounts tied to the disinformation dozen, resulting in every member having had at least one such entity removed. So you now have the White House overtly coordinating with the biggest platforms to effectuate policy changes by silencing critics, by silencing voices. And this didn't stop in 2020. Already coming up, it's not just that Twitter is basically doing the work of the White House, it's Facebook too. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Join the Cascade Theater on August 21st for one of the finest in-demand rock and roll ensembles working today, Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real. Lucas Nelson and POTR have wowed audiences and won fans with their fiery stage performances and singular sounds, which smoothly straddles rock and roll, country, soul, folk, and R&B. This will be a night you won't forget. Purchase tickets at cascadetheater.org or 243-8877 for a night of a lifetime with Lucas Nelson and POTR on August 21st at the Cascade Theater.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
25.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So they say, trust the institutions, trust them, trust big tech, trust all of them. And then, meanwhile, they just use these as institutions of power to cudgel you. Nick Clegg has now put out a statement this week talking about what Facebook is going to do for the 2022 U.S. midterm elections. And here's what he has to say. He says, our approach to the 2022 midterm elections applies learnings from the 2020 election cycle and exceeds the measures we implemented during the last midterm election in 2018. This includes advanced security operations to fight foreign interference and domestic influence campaigns, our network of independent fact-checking partners. Those independent fact-checking partners are universally left-wing, and when they fact-check, what they actually do is they implication check. So if you say something that is true, Snopes will say, mostly false. He'll say, yeah, what you said is true, sure, but the implication is mostly false. Our industry-leading transparency measures around political advertising and pages, as well as new measures to help keep poll workers safe. As we did in 2020, we have a dedicated team in place to combat election and voter interference, while also helping people get reliable information about when and how to vote. Nick Clegg says our teams fight both foreign interference and domestic influence operation and have exposed and disrupted dozens of networks that have attempted to interfere with U.S. elections. And some of this is about preventing Russia from intervening. But the second thing is about downgrading particular information. Remember, it was Facebook that, and it was Nick Clegg, who originally said, yeah, you know what we're going to have to do here is we're going to have to suppress this New York Post story. So all those institutions of power are perfectly willing to suppress information on behalf of a particular political cause or at the behest of the White House. And this is why people are deeply suspicious of the FBI search on Donald Trump's home. Because institutional trust is at all-time lows, as well it should be. Once the motive has been said, it cannot be unsaid. Once you say your motive out loud, the bell cannot be unrung. And so what we are learning right now is, and then you have, you know, the FBI trotting out disgraced former agents like Peter Strzok saying, trust us. We don't. We don't. So Peter Strzok, who you'll recall, was caught in a text messaging scandal with one of his subordinates. He was screwing her. They were both married. And they were texting one another about how much they hated Donald Trump throughout the investigation that he was leading into both Hillary Clinton and the 2016 emails. And he was also leading the investigation into Trump and the Trump-Russia collusion kind of stuff. Now, Peter Strzok ended up being fired unceremoniously. He's disgraced himself. But now he's back to explain that, for example, the affidavit in the FBI raid on Trump's house should not be released. Why? Well, you know, he says, well, it reveals sources and methods. Okay, invariably, the people who are calling for lack of transparency in these particular types of cases are the people you probably shouldn't trust. Here's Peter Strzok.
Do you think any part of the affidavit should be revealed?
No, and I'd be surprised if it was. In any other case not involving a former president of the United States, I'd expect the judge to rule immediately at the conclusion of the presentations from both sides. He may, in this case, because of the significant nature of the case, want to go and draft an opinion and make sure all the T's are crossed and I's dotted. But ordinarily, I would not expect to have it released, and I would expect to have an order or decision out of the judge during this hearing.
And the and people in the media are like, oh, yeah, that's fine. You know, lack of transparency. Fine with us. Weird, because you guys were all for massive transparency when it comes to, for example, police officers involved in controversial shootings. Then you want the tape yesterday. But when it comes to, for example, surveillance footage of the FBI going through Donald Trump's belongings, then you got Peter Strzok out there on CNN saying, yeah, no, we definitely can't. And I mean, that tape should not be available to the general public. I mean, it's only the most controversial single FBI action of the last, I don't know, 40 years or so.
You know, my main concern is one of physical security for the agents and other personnel involved in the search. If these are images where people can be identified, where they can have a name identified along with their image, that obviously in the context of what we're looking at now with threats to the judge, with threats to FBI personnel and offices, that really heightens the risk to those agents and other personnel who took part in that search. From an optics perspective, you know, Trump and his camp are talking a big game about releasing it, but I have some question about whether an average American viewer watching FBI agents walk out with box after box after box of highly classified information, whether that, in fact, is an image that is going to serve Trump very well.
Yeah, so again, it's not a big deal. You shouldn't worry about it. Just trust us. Derek Graff has a piece over at the New York Times today. He's the author of a book called Watergate, A New History. He has an op-ed at the New York Times today talking about how basically the right should leave the FBI alone because the FBI is generally conservative. He says, historically, the FBI has been arguably the most culturally conservative and traditionally white Christian institution in the entire U.S. government. It's an institution so culturally conservative, even by the standards of law enforcement, that Democratic presidents have never felt comfortable or politically emboldened enough to nominate a Democrat to head the bureau. That's right, far from being a bastion of progressive thinking, every single director of the FBI has been a Republican-aligned official going all the way back to its creation. Such history suggests that the issue here is Mr. Trump and not institutional bias. So the idea here is that, you know, all you guys are complaining about the FBI. What are you complaining about? What are you complaining about? After all, they're your people. Well, I mean, there's only one problem with that, and that is the institutional forces inside all of these institutions, including the FBI, if they're congenitally predisposed at the top levels against Donald Trump, and if that's being improved by the DOJ under Merrick Garland, I'm not sure what that says about the everyday agent sitting behind his desk. I mean, this is the same sort of complaint that you hear. The right will say, we are very critical of the leadership of the U.S. military. A lot of the leaders of the U.S. military have bought into sort of the woke, progressive, equity-based agenda with regards to the United States military. They are wokeifying the military, and it's really stupid, and it's undermining combat readiness. And the left will go, well, yeah, but you guys love the military. The military is filled with people who agree with you. Well, yes, throughout the military, but at the very top levels, the way that you become a top-level general in the military is by being political. The grunts on the ground know this. Everybody, talk to anybody in any branch of the military, and what they will tell you is once you hit the upper levels of the political echelon of the military, you're a political general. You got up there because you're very good at politicking. The same thing happens to be true with the upper levels of the FBI. So just because the average FBI agent may be politically conservative doesn't change whether the FBI has at its top levels a bunch of politicians who are maneuvering, because that's what happens in every bureaucracy. And so, again, trust us tends to go by the wayside when you have undermined your own trust. And this, I keep saying that it's true in every institution. This is why it feels like the country is breaking, even though the United States is still the most powerful force on planet Earth by a wide margin. Okay, China cannot challenge the United States. The United States is a massively powerful economy. The United States has the most powerful military in world history. The United States is a powerhouse. It is a global hegemon. And yet we are talking about the kind of breakup of the United States in terms of social fabric. And the reason is because all the institutions that used to unify us are now falling apart because you can't trust the guy in charge because his motives seem to be wrong. And it's every part of the American government. And the CDC is a perfect example of this. So yesterday, Rochelle Walensky announced that they are shaking up the CDC. By shaking up, it doesn't mean that they've actually recognized their big mistakes. Their big mistakes here were politicizing all of the data that was coming out, lying about it to the American public, making statements that were way beyond their capacity to make, saying that you didn't need masks, and then you did need masks, and then you need a mask up to 2-year-old, and then you need 7 different vaccinations, and that if you did get vaccinated, you wouldn't transmit, or if you did transmit, well, you still probably had to quarantine, and if you did quarantine, well, you didn't quarantine long enough, and you have to shut down. Like, the CDC was issuing rulings about eviction moratoria. The CDC had too much power. If you actually wanted to shake up the CDC, what you would do is use a little bit of epistemic humility. Right? You'd actually look at their system and say, okay, what if we shrank what it is that we say that we can do, and we're much more cautious in our application? But that's not what the CDC is doing. Their argument is they need more power. Their big mistake is that they weren't forceful enough during the last pandemic. So when they say a shakeup, what they mean is give us more power, as always. Here's Rochelle Walensky, the current head of the CDC.
We learned some hard lessons over the last 3 years, and as part of that is my responsibility, it's the agency's responsibility to learn from those lessons and do better.
The new findings are likely to spark a major shakeup of the CDC's sprawling bureaucracy. Among the plans, get information to the public more rapidly, create a new office of equity in healthcare, and develop a more nimble workforce that can quickly respond to public health crises.
We need to have a special forces, if you will, to deploy during pandemic times.
Do you think they're up to the task of now changing their whole culture and thinking of themselves more like special forces that can be deployed wherever they're needed?
I have no doubt that they're up to the task.
No doubt that they're up to the task. By the way, notice some of the goals that they're saying. Equity in healthcare. Does that sound like something that has to do with the CDC? Equity, as we learned from Kamala Harris, is the basically stupid idea that everybody in the United States is equally likely to accomplish or be subjected to anything in a normal situation, and any imbalance in result is due to some sort of evil in the system. Does that sound something like that the CDC should be promoting? The changes that they want are more power, right? That's what they're looking for. They want to establish an Office of Intergovernmental Affairs to smooth partnerships with other agencies and a higher-level office on health equity. She says that she wants to be able to move with more alacrity to get out actionable data. And by actionable data, that presumably means telling people what to do. Because, again, the notion that the CDC was not active enough during this pandemic is pretty insane. And by the way, I just love that the people, it's like the Federal Reserve. The people who botched the response are the same people who are charged with fixing it. They have the Federal Reserve, and it blows out inflation to 40-year highs. And it's like, well, maybe Jerome Powell will fix it. I mean, isn't he the one who blew it in the first place? So here you have Anthony Fauci being like, you know who can fix this? I can. And Rochelle Walensky can. We're the people to fix it. You're the problem.
I think they should be commended in the fact, particularly Dr. Walensky, realizing and recognizing the shortcomings that have been there for quite a long time, long antedating Dr. Walensky's tenure. And I think it was the stress and the challenge of a historic pandemic that brought some of those deficiencies into sharp relief. So I believe we should commend them for realizing that, particularly Dr. Walensky.
Oh, I mean, we should commend them, guys. I mean, don't you feel like commending the CDC for all the amazing work that it has done so far? And don't you think that Anthony Fauci should be the one who's actually giving the commendation? He should be the one pinning the medals. That's how good he is at this. Again, all the institutions in American life, I keep repeating it over, they seem to be falling apart because the people in charge of these institutions have motives that are at odds with the motivations of the American people. That's not just true inside of actual governmental institutions. It's true in terms of the institutions that we should have the most trust in America, namely, like, the scientific institutions. The institution of science has brought about more progress and prosperity than any institution over the course of the last century, and yet they are continuously undermining themselves with questions of motive and injecting politics and ideology into what should be a hypothesis result ordering. And science used to be about, here's my hypothesis, and then we get the data, and then we see what the result is. And now it's about, I'm not even allowed to posit a hypothesis that contradicts anything that the woke ideology says. And then they're like, but why don't you trust the science? We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate is estimated to be upwards of 10%. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation, and the name to know is Noble Gold. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. Mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Alrighty, coming up, all of our institutions seem like they are under threat. You're talking about the FBI, you are talking about the CDC, and then you're also talking about, you know, all of science. All of science just generally is under threat. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
It's the Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Hey, everyone. Kevin Cry here. I'd like to invite you to listen to my new radio show every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. We'll be talking about everything Shasta County, family, work, recreation, and the topics most important to all of us living here in the Great North State. We'll have roundtable discussions and different guests every week to share with all of you what is going on in Shasta County. Join me, Kevin Cry, every Tuesday right here from 6 to 7 p.m. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at kcnr1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So we keep hearing from all of our friends on the left, trust the science, trust the science. Also, I am a non-binary cat, and I know this because of astrophysics. Science was supposed to be the most impervious to this kind of stuff, and instead it seems that science is now the bleeding edge of institutional breakdown. And it doesn't help when you have articles like this one from Science Magazine. You ready? This is in Science Magazine. Quote, how astrophysics helped me embrace my non-binary gender identity in all its complexity. Astrophysics. Help you embrace your non-binary gender identity. This is so science-y, man. The science is just pouring out my ears reading this right here. Growing up, I asked a lot of questions. Many of them foretold my future in astronomy. Why is the sun yellow? Why do constellations look like that? Why does Jupiter have a spot? My parents answered what they could and bought me books to answer the rest. My most frequent question, starting when I was 5 years old, was, why am I a girl? And for that, my parents had no answer. In fact, in the 1990s, in the foothills of the Appalachians, no one did. It was my first encounter with a question that has no simple answer. Actually, it turns out that it has the simplest answer ever. Ever. So I don't know if her parents were just idiots or what. But, like, if my daughter asked me why I'm a girl, okay, let's go through this. You have no Y chromosomes. You pee sitting down. Like, why don't we start with those? Like, this is not difficult at all. And yet we're supposed to pretend it's difficult on the basis of they can't cite biology. Right? I love this. It's a science magazine. They're not like, well, how biology helped me embrace my non-binary gender identity. They can't say that because biology would not help you embrace your non-binary gender identity. So you have to go to astrophysics. You have to go to astrophysics. You have to learn about quantum mechanics in order to get to the idea that you are both. Quote, I found the label non-binary through friends on Twitter. With its fluidity and disavowal of the traditional two-gender system, non-binary felt right. It felt like home. That's what science is. Science is a bunch of feelings, didn't you know? And that's how Einstein came out with his theories. He didn't actually work through the data. He didn't work the math. He sat there, and then he felt things. That's how we do science. It felt like I had spent my whole life trying to solve a chaotic system, only to realize there wasn't one answer, but many. It was then I realized I am a photon, possessing qualities inherent to either side of the binary, but ultimately belonging to neither. Oh, you're a photon, are you? I noticed more like you're a biological mammal. My God. But trust the scientific institutions. Except that the scientific institutions have been completely broken. As Julia Mason and Lior Sapir write in a piece for the Wall Street Journal, the American Academy of Pediatrics is now pushing dubious transgender science. Quote, a spate of headlines this month declared America's surge in transgender identification was not being caused by social contagion. These articles were prompted by a new study by Jack Turbin and colleagues in pediatrics, the flagship journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Turbin, by the way, is a propagandist extraordinaire. He's a radical trans propagandist. Everything he puts out is basically garbage. The study claimed that social influence isn't the reason that as many as 9% of America's youth now call themselves trans. Thus, Dr. Truman argues, efforts in conservative states to regulate on-demand puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgery must be resisted. Yet Dr. Truman's study is deeply flawed and likely couldn't have survived a reasonable peer review process. The swift response from the scientific community made both points clear. Even those who support hormones and surgery for gender dysphoric youth noted that Dr. Turbin's shoddy science undermined their cause. Nevertheless, the media have promoted his work as a refutation of the claim that the wildfire spread of trans identity is an example of social contagion. The Turbin study rejects the social contagion theory on the grounds that more biological boys than girls identified as trans in 2017 and 2019, according to data collected from 19 states by the CDC. But the researchers who helped design the CDC questionnaire explicitly warned that youths who identify as trans may list their sex as their gender identity, making it impossible to discern who is a male to female or female to male. In this latest study, he cites three sources suggesting that respondents interpret sex as sex assigned at birth, even though none of the studies says anything of the sort. But the AAP keeps giving Dr. Turbin a platform. Over and over and over, the American Academy of Pediatrics doesn't care about kids, they care about the ideology. That's all they give a crap about. Pediatrics published his highly flawed 2020 study alleging puberty blockers reduce suicide in teens. The journal even chose that article as its best of 2020, despite receiving rebuttals that pointed out that the rate of attempted suicide was twice as high among the puberty block group, and that Dr. Turbin had not controlled for the possibility that better mental health outcomes might be the result of factors other than hormonal intervention. The AAP keeps ignoring the evidence that has led Sweden, Finland, and most recently the UK to place severe restrictions on medical transition for minors. The AAP is a disaster area, but trust the science, guys. And not only should you trust the science, by the way, the DOJ will now try to prosecute you if you doubt the science. So massive controversy has now broken out over people committing the grave sin of showing clips of members of the Boston Children's Hospital trans team talking about transing the children. If you show the clips, this makes you a stochastic terrorist. Well, I can see why they're upset about people showing the clips. The clips are super disturbing and make you look at the BCH and think, why are you committing active acts of child abuse and trauma against children? And for example, here is a BCH doctor, Boston Children's Hospital, bragging about mastectomies, double mastectomies for 15-year-old girls.
The eligibility for getting gender-affirming surgeries at Boston Children's Hospital is basically the same as it would be for most other hospitals or surgeons in the United States. And that's the case because we all follow the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, or WPATH, standards of care. For top surgery, you are requested, but not required, to have been on gender-affirming hormones for at least a year. If you're a trans woman, it's really encouraged that you be on estrogen for at least a year because you want to maximize your natural breast growth. Many surgical centers require you to be 18. At Boston Children's Hospital, for top surgeries, we'll see people as young as age 15 if they've been affirmed in their gender for a long period of time and don't really have any other life complications that make surgery inappropriate.
And I love the happy dappy music underneath. WPATH, by the way, is a propaganda organization on behalf of mutilation of children. That is what they are. Meanwhile, the Boston Children's Hospital is promoting a program called HOTT, H-O-T-T, in which adults teach minors how to tuck their penis with medical tape so it looks like a vagina. Really important stuff. Health outreach to teens. It's a welcoming, non-judgmental, confidential program designed specifically to meet the health and wellness needs of LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign young adults aged 13 to 24. And one of those services is teaching them how to tuck and tape your genitals up underneath you if you are a boy to look more like a girl. So people have pointed this out, and then it turns out people get agitated and they call up BCH and they're like, what the hell? So you now have the DOJ stepping in. That's right. Statement from the Department of Justice regarding alleged threats made to Boston Children's Hospital. By the way, have they been doing anything about the mass firebombings of pregnancy clinics or pro-life clinics? Have they done anything or churches? No, not a thing. But today's news about the alleged threats directed at BCH transgender health program is disturbing, to say the least. Children deserve an opportunity to thrive and grow as their own authentic selves. The most authentic kind of child is the one where you slice off their breasts at 15. When I think authenticity, I think take a boy, tape his penis up underneath his body and push his testicles up into his undercarriage. That's the most authentic type of child there is. Like, slow clap for these morons. I want to make clear that the DOJ will ensure equal protection of transgender people under the law. I've made, as Attorney General Merrick Garland recently said, at the Justice Department, we view confronting hate crimes as both our legal and our moral obligation. I have made confronting hate crimes a priority of my administration, establishing a unit dedicated to the investigation and prosecution of civil rights violations. So they have to the DOJ is now stepping in. And just like they stepped in to fight parents who are defending their kids, with all of its institutional integrity, to push this sort of stuff. Just amazing, amazing stuff from the people you ought to trust the most, right? Science. So many institutions that we ought to trust. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A British man named one of the Beatles by his captives because of his English accent has been sentenced to life in prison for his role in the deaths of four U.S. hostages captured by the Islamic State. Diane Foley, mother of slain journalist James Foley, is pleased with the sentence.
We must have accountability. We must have justice. And with today's verdict, we finally have a bit of justice.
But Foley says President Biden and the country need to work harder to gain the freedom of dozens of others still being held overseas.
The 67 U.S. nationals are counting on you, President Biden, counting on our country. Let us insist that our U.S. passport mean that our government must and will help Americans.
Former Vice President Mike Pence says he did not take any classified information with him when he left office. Pence made the comment during an interview today in Iowa, a week and a half after the FBI seized information and documents at former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. Another check could be on the way to Ukraine.
Sources say that President Biden is preparing to announce an additional $800 million of aid for Ukraine. Reuters is citing three sources who said the announcement could come as early as today. Reportedly, Biden plans to use the presidential drawdown authority to authorize the funding. The U.S. has sent billions of dollars in aid to Ukraine since February. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
Meanwhile, a Michigan judge blocked county prosecutors from enforcing a pre-Roe versus Wade abortion ban that would have allowed providers to be charged with a felony. And a divided U.N. Security Council failed to reach agreement on whether to extend travel exemptions for 13 Taliban officials now ruling Afghanistan. More at townhall.com.
It's ironic. Black people in America are the freest, safest, most prosperous black people in the history of the world. There is no country in this world that a black person would rather be. Unless, of course, they grow up in this country. Then they're fed a lie that is so deceptive.
The system in America was never built for black people.
Racist from top to bottom, and for black people to be
They actually believe the opposite of that which is true.
From executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone comes the continuation of their 2020 hit film, Uncle Tom.
It's very clear there was an intention to use black people to affect change.
Uncle Tom Part 2, An American Odyssey, starring Bodie Bauckham, Brandon Tatum, and Chad O. Jackson. Pre-order today on Salem Now.
They will continue to pledge their allegiance in Fargo.
Looks like the Pledge of Allegiance will not be disappearing from school board meetings after all. The Board of Education in North Dakota's most populous city reversing course on its decision to stop reciting the pledge at its monthly meetings. The about-face follows complaints from conservative lawmakers, along with an angry outcry from people all across the country. Rich Thomason reporting.
Two small planes collided in Northern California while trying to land at a local airport yesterday. At least two of the three occupants were killed, a twin-engine Cessna 340 and a single-engine Cessna 152. Apparently on final approach at the same time to Watsonville Municipal Airport shortly around the 3 p.m., city-owned airport does not have a control tower to direct landing and takeoffs. NTSB is investigating. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Here's a look at Friday business with John Scott.
Technology stocks led Wall Street lower, leaving major indexes in the red for the week. The benchmark S&P 500 index gave back 1.3%. That broke a four-week winning streak. Meme stock Bed Bath & Beyond plunged after the high-profile activist investor Ryan Cohen confirmed that he sold his stake in the struggling retailer. General Motors rose after reinstating its dividend, and Foot Locker soared after replacing its CEO.
Meanwhile, the markets all closed lower. The Dow lost 292 points to close out at 33,706. The Nasdaq shed 260, falling to 12,705, while the S&P 500 fell 55 points to finish the week at 4,228. New York oil gaining 27 cents to $90.70 a barrel. More stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hey, hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. How often do I have to say it, guys? You just need to protect what you're doing online. Go to ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. The media sphere is changing and changing in new and exciting ways. Brian Stelter is toast over at CNN. It was figured that he was going to lose his job because, again, CNN at some point has to have a viewer. Apparently, he had one viewer, Stephen King. Stephen King is very upset about this. The author Stephen King is like, I used to watch that show regularly. Which makes one of us. So Brian Stelter is gone, which is going to deprive us of at least a significant portion of the comedy of this show. He's leaving CNN as the network canceled his Sunday media show, Reliable Sources, the most ironically named show in American media. Because it turns out Reliable Sources was supposed to be out criticizing the media and holding them to account. And then mostly it turned into, why is anybody criticizing the media and holding them to account? According to a network spokesperson telling Mediaite, quote, CNN will end its Reliable Sources program on Sunday, August 21st. As a result, Brian Stelter will leave the company. We appreciate his contributions to the network and wish him well as he embarks on new endeavors as the mascot for the Mr. Potato Head line, or the gender-neutral Potato Head line, as the case may be. Stelter hosted Reliable Sources and helmed the massively influential media newsletter of the same name for the last 9 years. He originally had been at the New York Times as a media reporter. The newsletter will carry on. It will now be helmed by CNN senior media reporter Oliver Darcy. Stelter apparently provided a semi-satisfying explanation for why he had not yet returned a request for comment. Quote, I picked a bad day to violate the ABC rule, always be charging. I took the kiddos out sightseeing in Midtown Manhattan. My phone is now at 2%. Oliver Darcy said this is the end of an era. CNN executive vice president Amy Enteles hailed Stelter in a separate statement. Quote, Stelter came to CNN from the New York Times as the nation's top media reporter. He departs CNN, an impeccable broadcaster. We are proud of what Brian and his team accomplished over the years. Name an accomplishment. What would the accomplishment be? I mean, it was a running gun battle between Brian Stelter and, like, the second billed game on a WNBA doubleheader for lowest ratings possible for any show on TV. According to CNN, however, we are confident that their impact and influence will long outlive the show. I'm not sure that it outlived, like, the last 5 minutes, actually. They announced Brian Stelter's ouster, and immediately everyone forgot that Brian Stelter was a person. So by the time you listen to this, let me remind you, Brian Stelter was a personality on CNN who had a show called Reliable Sources. You may have heard of it, mainly because we used to make fun of it a lot. Because Brian Stelter would just say silly things about the media on a regular basis. So Brian Stelter is gone. This has led to speculation that Don Lemon might be next. Well, from our mouth to God's ears, because Don Lemon is indeed terrible at his job. But unless, listen, maybe the new leadership at CNN wants to get things on the right track. That'd be nice. And we talk a lot on the show about the problems, but maybe one of the solutions would be some of these institutions depolarizing themselves. That'd be good. I mean, if you're going to be MSNBC, that's fine. I mean, if you want to be MSNBC and say, listen, we're a left-wing progressive network, lean forward and all the rest, good. If you're CNN and you claim to be objective, you really shouldn't be hiring people like Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon and Jim Acosta and Brian Stelter. That should not be your chief crew. That is a mistake. Alrighty, coming up, we have to get to the most moving moment in TV history, maybe. It's from She-Hulk, one of the great shows of all time. First, Let's talk about the fact that you're out of your house a little bit more this summer because it's summer, taking the kids to camp, whatever it is. Well, you need to make sure your house is still safe. I've been out of town. I knew my house was safe because I was relying on Ring. Now you're thinking to yourself, wait, those are the video doorbell people. You are right. They do a video doorbell, but they also do an award-winning alarm system. I rely on that alarm system. When it comes to protecting my home, I've gone pro with Ring Alarm Pro. Ring Alarm Pro is a next-level security system. CNET calls it a giant leap for home security. After using it, this is correct. Ring Alarm Pro helps secure my entire home and the Wi-Fi it runs on. With Ring Alarm Pro, Ring combined a home security system and a Wi-Fi router. This summer, whether I'm across the country or across town, I know everything at home is protected and connected and that it's going to stay that way. With a Ring Protect Pro subscription, which is an amazing deal, by the way, I get professional monitoring for the ultimate peace of mind. If anything happens, professional monitoring will call me and can request emergency services. Talk about a worry-free vacation. You might not have known it, but it's true. Ring has that award-winning alarm. Hey, if I use it, you should use it too. Head on over to ring.com/Shapiro to get started. That is ring.com/Shapiro. Once more, ring.com/Shapiro. Now, meanwhile, speaking of institutions that are blowing out their credibility in the media, Disney continues apace. So remember that time that they used to make comic book movies that were fun and didn't lecture you on woke garbage? Remember that? Wasn't that nice? Like, you watch the old Superman movies with Christopher Reeves, and you're like, oh, wow, there's not a lot of politics to this. It's basically just Superman. And then you watch Batman Begins and The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, and you're like, there might be some political messaging here, but it's pretty deeply buried. It mostly just seems thought-provoking. Well, now, the writers for the shows on Disney and in the Marvel Universe are basically just reading slate pitches and directly channeling them into the dialogue. So this show looks just garbage. I will be honest with you. Ever since Disney decided to unleash the fact publicly that it was trying to indoctrinate kids in LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign queer theory, when they said that, I canceled my Disney Plus subscription, so I've not watched a single moment of Disney Plus since then. And it's one of the reasons why we here at Daily Wire have dedicated $100 million over 3 years to developing children's content, because it turns out that content for kids should basically just be content for kids. Well, now what they've decided to do is that they're growing up. They're growing up the superhero genre. They've been doing this in the comic books for years, right? They got Ta-Nehisi Coates to write the Superman comics, which is like having Noam Chomsky write Superman back in the 1970s. They have somebody who openly talked in his memoir about smoking pot while watching 9/11 because he hated America so much. Like, have that guy write about Superman. Makes perfect sense. Sounds great. So they've done that in the comic books for a while. Right? Superman, in one of the spinoff universes, is now a gay youth standing up for the pride flag or some such. So they've been doing that, and now they're putting it into the TV shows. And so you end up with just purely bad dialogue like this. So I'm sorry, this is bad dialogue. So this is the character of She-Hulk explaining to Bruce Banner how she is really good at controlling her anger because she's a woman. You see, here we go.
Here's the thing, Bruce. I'm great at controlling my anger. Mm. I do it all the time. When I'm catcalled in the street, when incompetent men explain my own area of expertise to me, I do it pretty much every day, because if I don't, I will get called emotional or difficult, or might just literally get murdered. So I'm an expert at controlling my anger because I do it infinitely more than you.
She's bad at it. She needs to calm down at the end there. But yeah, I mean, so now, and this has been hailed as just the most heroic thing. What, Disney put the talking points from Jezebel right in the show. It's amazing. You have accounts like a co-host of Geeks of the Week, quote, She-Hulk might genuinely be the first time some young men hear a woman speak candidly about experiences like this. It might not seem like it, but it's hugely important. And the music rises. We need some backlit lighting. Just a hero shot. Wait, I'm sorry. Is you lecturing in the most tendentious fashion about how hard women have it in the United States in the middle of a comic book show? Is that hugely important? Or is that you guys virtue signaling to a group of people who entirely agree with you? I love the way that it works in Hollywood. It really is pretty spectacular. What happens is the writer puts something like this in the script, and the producer's like, this isn't very good, but we do have to put it. It's very important. It's so important. And then the director's like, I'm going to clap you on the back, producer and writer, because you did something so important. And then they all have a great big circle hug. And then they're real happy with each other because they all agree with each other about all these things. They agree that women are so put upon in American society. Women are so victimized. They're constantly having to hold back in the face of male aggression. And it needs to be promoted to teenage boys who are watching She-Hulk. It's super important. By the way, I'm just going to point out here at the very end where she says, you might literally be murdered if you're a woman for no other reason than you're a woman. Like, if you ever get angry as a woman, a man might just come out of the woodwork and just stab you in the eye with a shiv. That is your life. And because women, if they're ever perceived as emotional or angry, then, you know, people just, they come along, they kill them. It's basically like Afghanistan around here. Let me read you a statistic. Okay, here are the total number of murder victims in the United States in 2020 by gender. You ready? Total number of murder victims. Altogether, 17,754. And this is according to the Statista Research Department in 2020. 17,754 total murder victims. Female murder victims, 3,573. Male victims, 14,146. So if we're just talking about, like, who gets killed in the United States, like in terms of homicide victims, I'm going to note that men get killed way more often than women. Now, that does not mean that women aren't that women aren't put upon sometimes, that women don't have difficult experiences in life that many men don't have to have. But this notion that in widespread fashion, every woman is holding herself back all the time from a predatory, evil male patriarchy. Women now constitute the vast majority of college graduates. Women are vastly overeducated in the United States when compared to men. Women coming out of college are earning more than men are when they first get out of college. There's a vast problem with males in the United States, actually. Males are falling well behind their female counterparts in the United States. But we have to keep pushing is the idea that women are victims in the United States. They're part of the victim coalition here in the United States, and you have to hear it from She-Hulk. She-Hulk will tell you about it. It's so important, guys. So, so, so important. By the way, women are the majority of voters in the United States. Like, it continues to be a source of amazement to me that the people in entertainment think that they are doing something heroic. Now, let them continue doing it. You want to create an opening for market competition so that we here at Daily Wire can make kids' content and take away some of your market share? I'm happy to do it. I mean, I'm fine with it. Makes me more money. But as far as sort of poisonous pop culture, the wokeification of pop culture, again, taking things that used to be sort of the popcorn, I mean, there's nothing more popcorn than a comic book movie about a person who turns green and wears purple pants when he or she gets mad. Like, that's pretty popcorny. And to turn that into, let me lecture you about your white privilege. Let me lecture you about male patriarchal privilege. All right. I mean, you want to do it that way. That's you guys. But there will be market consequences, and there should be. Alrighty, coming up, brand new album from Demi Lovato, one of our great American voices. First, if you're a business and you're operating on pretty close to the margins right now because the economy is kind of rough, well, you need to get back money from the government that you didn't need to give the government in the first place. This is why you should be talking to my friends over at Innovation Refunds. Small business owners, listen up. You could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. This isn't a loan. There's no payback. It's a refund on your taxes. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their tax attorneys are specialists in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They do all the work with no charge up front. They simply charge a percentage of the cash they can get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify as long as you have five or more employees. The team at GetRefunds.com has already returned over $1 billion to businesses that can help you as well. Seriously, go to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few questions. It's that simple. You will be shocked at how much money you could be getting back. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time. Go check it out right now, GetRefunds.com. No risk, high reward, that's GetRefunds.com. You got nothing to lose, so go check them out. See if you can get back some of the money that you paid to the government, you shouldn't have paid to the government. Head on over to GetRefunds.com right now. That's GetRefunds.com. All right, coming up, Demi Lovato seems to be a pretty damaged human being. Well, now she has a new album, and there's something a little bit perverse about it in the Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is La Unica Dominican Primeros. Premium shade-grown Connecticut wrappers combined with a long filler blend of aged Cuban seed Dominican tobaccos. Providing a smooth, mellow to medium-bodied experience, it's a rich and balanced selection with subtle hints of nuts, cream, and fruit. La Unica Dominican Primeros. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246 YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Jump so high.
Join us at Wind River Resort and Casino to see the award-winning Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band remains one of the most accomplished bands in American roots music.
You and me both.
This high-energy show will fill the event center Friday, October 7th. Tickets start at $30.
Plus fees. Must be 21 to attend.
Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WinRiver.com and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
In human development.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, if you want to talk about groundbreaking, path-changing redefinitions of music and culture, probably we need to talk about Demi Lovato. Demi Lovato has a new album out, and it's being widely touted because Demi Lovato is sometimes she. You're allowed to call her she again. So for several months there, you were only allowed to call Demi Lovato they because she was a they for no reason other than she declared that she was a they. But now she says you can call her either they or she. So that's exciting. They have a new album out called Holy F-V-C-K, right? Because it's clever, you see, because she, like, bleeped the word herself. So that's great. And the cover of the album, predictably enough, is the usual routine. It is Demi Lovato in bondage on a cross-shaped couch, like lying down on a cross-shaped couch. I mean, I was blown away by the subversive nature of this. I truly was. I mean, there's nothing more subversive in American life these days than a pop star crapping all over Christianity while undermining traditional values. I've never seen anything like this before, except for the last 50 years of pop culture in the United States. Madonna wants her shtick back, Demi. Hey, but this is groundbreaking, it's pathbreaking, it's very, very important. This is very important because it's subversive. And it's important for all pop culture to be subversive of traditional values. This is what makes it heroic. It's heroic. Now, there's great irony, actually, as it turns out, to Demi Lovato's new album, because the entire album, and I've actually read the lyrics to the entire album, the entire album is about how miserable she is. It's about how she has serious drug addiction problems, about how she is deeply unhappy in her own personal life, about how she was sexually abused at the age of 17 by a 29-year-old man. It's actually really sad. I mean, you read the lyrics, and this is a sad person with a sad life. And then the entire album is generated around, but this is liberation. And there's something to that, by the way. As we've been noting over the past couple of days, there's been a spate of pieces recently where it's like, I'm miserable, but I'm liberated. It's like, does it never occur to you that maybe those two things act in tandem? Maybe the fact that you rejected all traditional values and that your life has been built around mocking traditional values and that you're deeply, maybe there's a correlation here, guys. And we need to destroy all the things that usually make for human happiness and then you're unhappy. Maybe that has, those things have something to do with one another. But again, she's being touted by members of the media as heroic. According to the review in Pitchfork.com of Demi Lovato's new album, Quote, in the extended metaphor of Wasted, Lovato tries to bottle the intoxicating feeling of infatuation with a new crush. The love as drug trope is certainly loaded for them, but choosing to couch love in terms of their destructive former vices scans as a gesture of self-acceptance, a recognition that who we once were is just the context for who we've become. Smitten and hopelessly lost in this feeling, Lovato arrives at the closer with her demeanor softened and her palate too. Forever For Me, more Goo Goo Dolls than Blink-182, wraps Lovato in acoustic chords and bittersweet strings as they sing to a new partner about wanting to meet his mother. In some ways, this feels like a segue, a hint that adult contemporary is the center to which Lovato will ultimately return, but it doesn't undermine the album's essential spirit, planning for forever when every day is a fight. That's defiance. Every day is a fight. Every single day. Yeah, but the fight is always against roles and rules and traditions, and then people are unhappy, and they're like, oh, my God, why are we unhappy? I don't understand. It's such a mystery. All of it's a mystery. Speaking of roles and rules and unhappiness, our major cities have decided that rules are no longer of any consequence whatsoever. There's a bunch of tape that is now emerging from Los Angeles, where apparently people are just robbing stores at whim, and nobody says or does anything about it. Tape emerged yesterday of a 7-Eleven in L.A., basically just being overrun by teenagers. They run in, they grab all the crap, they run out, nobody does anything. This is here's some tape of brazen destruction at a 7-Eleven.
Take a good look at this video. It is from last Sunday at the 7-Eleven at El Segundo and Figueroa. The mob of about 100 people just goes through the store, ransacking it and destroying it, stealing everything in sight. They even jump behind the counter and start handing out cigarettes and lotto tickets. Police are also particularly interested in finding one man on the video wearing a Colorado Rockies cap and a backwoods jersey. He actually starts throwing bananas and chips at the lone, terrified employee. Police say the people on this video could face charges of vandalism, looting, and grand theft.
Nah. Nah. It's L.A. I'll give him a medal. And this is in L.A. I wonder why. Gavin, what we need is an ad from Gavin Newsom explaining why people like me should come back from Florida to L.A. That should be the lead right there. I mean, where else can you see wonderful group activities like this? I mean, it's building the social fabric, really, is just looting a 7-Eleven. Really looks great right there. Anyway, this is also happening apparently at a Ralph's in Los Angeles.
What the?
You can just see a couple of young men. We are not allowed by law to describe them any further than that. Looting a Ralph's. Just like going right through to the alcohol section, literally with duffel bags. They're literally standing there with duffel bags and just loading the alcohol right in. Everybody is doing well over in Los Angeles. By the way, it's not the security guard's fault. He's been told, I'm sure, by the chain, don't involve yourself. Because if you do involve yourself, then you might get involved in a confrontation. You might get arrested. We might get sued for racial profiling, depending on how things go. But Los Angeles, everything is going really well. Institutional breakdown, it's not real. It's all in your head. The effort to recall the Los Angeles DA has now failed. District Attorney George Gascon, he is not going to face a recall election, as it turns out. So there's a lot of talk about whether he's going to be recalled because he's terrible. The effort needed 567,000 valid signatures to put his job on the ballot, according to CNN. It fell nearly 47,000 signatures short, according to a news release from the L.A. County Registrar Recorder. The effort gathered 520,000 valid signatures. 195,000 were found to be invalid, which is a really high number. Gascon, who is the left-leaning George Soros-backed district attorney, who said he was going to push a more humane criminal justice system, has faced criticism from recall advocates who claimed his policies have failed to ensure public safety. Nor I don't know why they would think that. It looks great over there. LA's operating in peak fashion. Everything's good. What's the prop? You all racists. I don't know why you look at that and you say to yourself, man, looks like LA's a crime-ridden hellhole. Meanwhile, New York is things are going similarly well. So Eric Adams, who was brought in on the pledge that he was going to lower crime and he's done nothing of the sort, he's not very angry. He's not angry at the criminals in his city. He's very, very angry at Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, for shipping illegal immigrants up to New York. In fact, he says that busing illegal immigrants from Texas to New York is anti-American, which is weird because I thought that New York is the greatest place on earth and everybody should want to be there. And in fact, people from Florida should move back to New York and all the rest. Here's Eric Adams explaining it's anti-American to send people on buses to the greatest place in America. If you can't make it there, you can't make it in. If you make it there, you can make it anywhere. I've still been told by song and dance. Here's Eric Adams.
It's the worst type of politics. It's hateful politics to raise his national profile. And you know what? You should not be doing it by taking away the respect and dignity of people who are in need. What the Texas governor is doing is just so anti-American.
Have you spoken directly to the governor?
No, I have not. Our team reached out to him when we first discovered what he was doing, and we asked, let's coordinate, because crisis calls for coordination.
Oh, coordination. Is that what you call it when you just say that we should keep the border completely open? I'm sorry that reality is harming you this way, Eric Adams and City of Los Angeles. I'm deeply sorry that your own crap governance is now coming back to bite you. Well done, everyone. Alrighty, coming up, the Senate race in Pennsylvania is a difficult one for Republicans, largely because the media have decided that a person who may in fact be a vegetable would be the best Senate candidate. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Tutankhamun, wonderful things, treasures from the Pharaoh's tomb, is open now through September 5th in Reading at Turtle Bay Museum, featuring authentic reproductions of King Tut's ancient Egyptian treasures. Presented by Senator Kay Maurice and Marianne Johannesson in association with the Museum of Ancient Wonders. This exhibition is included with paid park admission, free for Turtle Bay members. Tutankhamun, wonderful things, treasures from the Pharaoh's tomb, open now through September 5th at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Where do you go at Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
You about ready for school, son?
That's okay, Mom. Dad's dropping me off.
Why?
Because Dad's ride looks awesome after the new paint job from Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center. They also took out that huge scratch and dent.
I took Dad's car to Mako at 3045 Crossroads Drive.
Oh, okay. It looks sick.
Sick?
Mom, sick means cool.
Sick.
It sounds weird when you say it.
Uh-oh, better call Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call today for your free estimate. 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
HGA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Get the very best of summer with Black Bear Diner's refreshing summer menu, here for a limited time only. Start the day with sweet cream pancakes with fresh strawberries and lemon cream. Or grab a fresh berry chicken salad for lunch. Dig into blackberry burned barbecue ribs for dinner and end with a fresh strawberry lemon cream pie. Pair any of these with a triple berry citrus spritzer or a summer sangria and you're set for summer flavor. Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Tickets for Axiom Repertory Theater's summer season are on sale now, starting with Neil Simon's hilarious Chapter 2, July 15th through August 26th, followed by the aggressively outrageous musical hit Ruthless, July 22nd through August 25th, and finally, Roe, a timely look at the landmark 1973 case Roe v. Wade, running August 5th through the 27th. Don't miss Axiom Repertory Theater's outstanding summer season. Get your tickets now at the box office, 2613 Bocelli Lane, or online at axreptheater.com.
Have you just received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, BT Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. BT Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's BT Satellite, 241-3474.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So this Pennsylvania Senate race for Republicans is pretty rough. In large part, this is due to the fact that the media have decided just not to cover anything about John Fetterman. So John Fetterman is the Democratic candidate in Pennsylvania, and he's just a career loser. I mean, this guy is, he's like a 6'9" lurch looking dude. He constantly wears Dickies, which makes him look like he's wearing a neck brace for no apparent, maybe to hide the bolts. I'm not sure what the story there is. Every time he walks on stage, it's like Frank, the father-in-law from Everybody Loves Raymond, but in Young Frankenstein. So he happens to be a socialistic idiot, John Fetterman. And he also happens to be a career derelict. I mean, the guy has basically been living off mommy and daddy's wealth for years and years and years, or the taxpayer dime as the lieutenant governor. He's never, as far as I'm aware, held a serious job. But this is now a qualification for office for the Democrats. So this has now reared its ugly head. And by the way, just before I even get to him and Dr. Oz and the contrast between them, let me point out how radical John Fetterman is. So John Fetterman literally has said that in the state of Pennsylvania, they could release 1/3 of all prisoners and it would not increase the crime rate. So if you like what you've seen in places like Los Angeles and San Francisco, get ready, Pennsylvania. So here is John Fetterman saying just that.
I was on a panel with Secretary Wetzel earlier before the pandemic hit, and he said something remarkable that I agree with. He said, we could reduce our prison population by 1/3 and not make anyone less safe in Pennsylvania. And that's a profound statement.
What? You could reduce the prisoners in Pennsylvania. But this actually has some practical ramifications, because he was sitting on the Board of Prisons while he was lieutenant governor, and he was just releasing people back into the gen pop, which is pretty extraordinary. Okay, so, but the real campaign issue in Pennsylvania, according to everybody, is Dr. Mehmet Oz is an elitist. He's an elitist. And we know that if you earn money in the United States, this makes you unqualified for office. So, sure, the original founders of the country tended to be overwhelmingly wealthy men, because, again, the idea here is that if you don't want people in politics who are demagogues, then it's good for them to have an outside source of income. You want to cut down on corruption? It's good for people to be independently wealthy before they are in office. It's not a bad thing. It gives you the ability to say things that are actually on your mind, because you have less to lose. This is why, biblically speaking, most of the prophets were actually kind of wealthy, because if you're wealthy, you don't have much to lose. In any case, Dr. Oz has now come under severe fire. Not a biblical prophet, but a candidate for Pennsylvania. Why? Well, because he was asked about the number of houses that he owns, and he was off. So here was Dr. Oz.
Pleasure to meet you.
I did too as well.
I wanted to ask you real quickly, how many houses do you own?
I own 2 houses, but one of them we're building on. The other one's at rent.
Right, and one of them is the one that you married your wife in, correctly?
Yes. I'm renting that for my mother-in-law. We're building the house next to it.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay, so it turns out that Dr. Oz owns a bunch of houses. When he says, how many do you own? He says how many he lives in. But apparently he actually has 10 houses, right? And John Fetterman tweeted out, I've never spoken to a Pennsylvania resident who doesn't know how many houses they have, let alone be off by 8. I can't tell if he's trying and failing to sound like a regular person with only 2 mansions, or if he genuinely has no idea. Wow, what an insult. You mean that Dr. Oz has 10 houses? Wow, I mean, we can't put that person who's obviously incredibly successful and good enough at his job that he has 10, we can't put that person in power. We have to have a career loser who literally lived in a place that he leased for $1 from his sister while getting hundreds of thousands of dollars in gifts from his parents. We need a basement dweller like John Fetterman, a weird-looking basement dweller like John Fetterman in the Senate. Deeply important. And honestly, it's a rap on Mehmet Oz, that Mehmet Oz is very rich. Being wealthy is bad. Okay, as we know, being wealthy indicates that you have not been successful in any way. Being a loser indicates that you're a career success story. So Mehmet Oz tweeted back, I purchased my house with my money. You lived off your parents until you were almost 50. Regular people don't mooch off their parents when they're 50. Get off the couch, John. Well, I mean, fair enough. By the way, I'm not sure that John Fetterman actually can get off the couch at this point. He had a debilitating stroke in the middle of this race that we've all been ignoring. It's just unbelievable. They had a he cannot get through two sentences at this point in his career, John Fetterman. And yet we're treating him as though he is fully healthy and perfectly capable of being in the Senate, which, again, I guess that makes sense. We have a senile president of the – why not a person who is not functional in the United States Senate? That is totally fine as well. All righty, coming up, our members of the media – they are the blue-collar people. They're the people in touch with the people. They're very upset with Mehmet Oz. They say that he is not a blue-collar person. You know who's saying this? Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. You know, the tribunes of the common man. We'll get to that in a moment. First, as the common man, you may have noticed that when you fill up your gas tank these days, it's really, really, really expensive. Like, I had to fill up the gas tank the other day, and I will tell you, it cost me nearly $100. It is an expensive thing. This is why I've been using Upside. My listeners are earning cash back for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. You just download that free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. You can use promo code Shapiro for 25 cents per gallon or more on your first fill up, cash back. Don't pay full price. Get cash back using Upside. So here is how it works. Very easy. Just go to the App Store or Google Play, you download the free app, and then you use promo code Shapiro. You'll start getting 25 cents per gallon or more on that first tank. And it doesn't just work with gas. You can earn cash back at grocery stores, restaurants with takeout as well, and cash out to your bank account or get an e-gift card for select retailers and brands. Users have earned over $200 using Upside. So what precisely are you waiting for? Just download that free Upside app. Use promo code Shapiro. Get 25 cents per gallon or more cash back on your very first tank of gas. Again, use promo code Shapiro right now with that free Upside app. That is promo code Shapiro to get started. Start saving some money today. Meanwhile, the Morning Joe hosts, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, both of whom are overwhelmingly wealthy, are making fun of Dr. Oz because Dr. Oz was botching the name of a store. Wow. Because these people are not elitists. You know, Joe Scarborough and Mika, they're common people. They're people of the people. When I think people would be, I think Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. That's who I think. I don't know about you. So now they're making fun of Dr. Oz because Dr. Oz botched the name of a store. Whereas John Fetterman, he's one of the people. One of the people who's basically been on welfare for his entire career. Okay, here they are.
The message that was lost on Oz appears to mix up the names of grocery chains, Redner's and Wegmans, saying that he is shopping at, quote, Wegner's. And he uses the term crudité for what many simply call vegetables on a tray.
Oh, that's what, a veggie tray. Yeah, I've had a veggie tray before.
For a bunch of vegetables on a tray.
No, you can get those things for like $7.99. You just go in, you get them. Oh, yeah, where's your veggie tray?
And they Fetterman the jumped on the fundraising opportunity and the chance to continue his claim that
put A1 on the carrots, and like we're off to the races. Ooh,
yeah. Let me tell you, folks in Pennsylvania aren't talking about crudité.
I just hope he at least remembered some ranch dip with all those vegetables that he claimed to buy at inflated prices.
Well, I mean, you mean that he said, I'm sure that Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, again, these are the people, you go over to their house and they probably just went down to the local convenience store and they bought like some Doritos and some canned salsa and they got like some pickles in a can and they put them out. That's the kind of people they are. Them making fun of Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski making fun of Dr. Oz for being elitist. It's just hilarious. I'm sorry. That's hysterical. But this is the dirty little secret for so many people on the left. What it means to be a person of the people, a candidate of the people, is to be a career loser who's never earned a buck. Like Bernie Sanders is a person of the people because he was a deadbeat. Joe Biden has never worked an honest job a day in his life. He's been in government since he was 27 years old, and he's now 137,000 years old. Like, this is it. But that's how you know John Fetterman's a good guy. He's a good guy because he's a loser. And being a loser is what makes you a good guy. I mean, that's what we know. That is the thing that we know. Meanwhile, I am excited that that the Inflation Reduction Act is about to reduce inflation. Brian Deese, the Council of Economic Advisors director under Joe Biden. I always have to avoid a particular joke about Brian Deese's name. Anyway, Brian Deese, he says that the Inflation Act is going to help you. The way you ask how? He says, well, you, sir, can buy a more energy efficient heater. Oh, okay.
You know, some of the provisions of the Inflation Reduction Act are going to help really immediately. The provisions that give consumers tax rebates or tax credits for going out and buying more energy-efficient heaters, more energy-efficient appliances, those are enacted immediately. The provisions that keep healthcare premiums low are going to affect 13 million Americans just in the coming months. Without this law, 13 million Americans would have gotten a letter in October that said that their healthcare premiums were going to skyrocket. We're taking care of that and making sure that that doesn't happen. So you're right, some of the provisions will happen across time because we're fixing things that haven't been fixed in decades, like having Medicare negotiate for better prescription drug prices.
Excited about that heater, are you? I know I'm pumped. I know I'm pumped. Remember, the true elitists, the true elites in our society are the people who think things are going amazing. And those people universally are on the left, people like Chris Hayes. He says, you know, we're better off than we were 2 years ago. Well, I mean, technically that's true, since it is currently August 2022. And in the middle of August 2020, 2,000 people were dying a day of COVID. So, yeah, probably. The question is, are we better off now than we were 3 years ago? I guess that was before COVID. The answer there is no. So Chris Hayes is doing some pretty convenient dating. He's like, you know, things are better today than they were on 9/11. Yeah. Okay. That's kind of a low bar here. Okay.
We are better off today than we were 2 years ago. Do you remember what the summer of 2020 was like? From May to July, the virus was raging, vaccines still many months away. The country was in mourning and in angst over the death of George Floyd. We had a president who was running around the country holding super spreader events, getting Secret Service agents sick, telling people to inject themselves with bleach. The entire world had shut down. Now, here we are. Is everything perfect now? No. But 2 years later, are things better? Yeah.
I'm just going to note that the riots were your, like, that was you guys. Like, things were really crappy. One of the things that was really crappy was the riots. Oh, tell me about it, Chris. Tell me about it. Everything is so broken in the country. I'm not sure, frankly, how we fix it. I really am not sure. Already coming up, we've talked about the undermining of the scientific institutions. There's a professor from Duke who has the same sort of idea. We'll get to that in a moment. First, let's talk about the fact that if you are a company and you have a lot of employees, well, you may have overpaid your taxes. This is why you need to talk to my friends over at Innovation Refunds. They can help. Small business owners, it's time to listen up. You could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It's a refund on your taxes. Go to GetRefunds.com. Their tax attorneys are specialists in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They do all the work, no charge upfront. They simply charge a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify as long as you have five or more employees. The team at GetRefunds.com has already returned over $1 billion to businesses that can help you as well. Seriously, head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few questions. It's that simple. You'll be shocked at the amount of money you might be getting back from the government. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so check it out right now. GetRefunds.com. No risk, high reward. That's GetRefunds.com. If you paid the government too much money, why would you not seek to go get some of that money back for yourself and your company? Go to GetRefunds.com right now to get started. Already coming up, we're going to be joined by a professor from Duke who says, you know, the scientific community, they may have made some pretty large-scale mistakes over the past couple of years. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Join the Cascade Theater on August 21st for one of the finest in-demand rock and roll ensembles working today, Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real. Lucas Nelson and POTR have wowed audiences and won fans with their fiery stage performances and singular sounds, which smoothly straddles rock and roll, country, soul, folk, and R&B. This will be a night you won't forget. Purchase tickets at CascadeTheater.org or 243-8877 for a night of a lifetime with Lucas Nelson and POTR on August 21st at the Cascade Theater.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicolaus & Company, 244-7199.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with.
Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken soup, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m. with happy hour from 3 to 5. The Dry Creek Station is famous for their steamer clams. Friday through Sunday, don't miss their fabulous weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is John Stanton. He's a professor of psychology, professor of biology, and neurobiology, emeritus at Duke University, and the author of a brand new book called Science in the Age of Unreason. John, thanks so much for joining the show.
Oh, happy to be here.
So let's talk about the scientific breakdown. It seems like our scientific institutions, a lot of Americans are losing faith in them. It seems to me that there's some good reason for that, namely that a lot of our scientific institutions have been infused with ideology and politics. What do you make of it?
Well, it's a complicated situation. I don't want to be conspiratorial about it, but the way the system has evolved has led to the development, for example, of experimental methods that are not replicable. People can't repeat the results that they got before and so on. A lot of scientific questions have been posed which can't easily be answered. A chap called Alvin Weinberg years ago pointed out that there were a lot of questions that he called trans-science, okay? Now, you can state it scientifically. It is a scientific question, but we don't yet have the methods to answer it. And the examples that he gave were things like long-term effects of low-level radiation. You might say now climate change, you know, is very difficult. It's a scientific question, but we can't measure all the variables. We don't have all the relevant theory even, at least some of it's missing. And things like COVID. I mean, the COVID is a new infection. Nobody knew quite how infectious it was, how dangerous it was, and so on. So the recommendations went all over the place. And when the science is kind of weak, politics takes over, right? That's a sensible way to do it. Why not? These things are like competing forces. And if the science is strong, like physics, you know, how to make a bridge and so on, no problem. The politics doesn't influence that too much. Once in a while it does and the bridge sways and falls down or something, but generally speaking, not. But when it's something like the dangers of a disease, the politics tends to take over. There are a lot of things one could say about that. I mean, one thing I'd say is that the scientific side of things should not be decisive. In other words, the medical advisors, scientific advisors, they shouldn't make the policy decisions. The politicians should make those decisions. Not that they're all wise, but they know more stuff than the medical people. The medical people know a lot about a little. They know about health. Their values are single. All they care about is health and safety. All they care about is health and safety. Condemn smoking, for example, on shaky grounds and so forth. They should provide advice. They should not make the decisions. The politicians who can take into account, you know, the economic, social, and other effects of these measures should make the decision. I mean, That's five cents on that topic.
Yeah, Professor Stadden, what you say at the end there is really so telling, because it seems like a lot of these scientific bureaucrats, They have precisely the opposite point of view, that if politicians make these decisions, somehow those politicians are not only more likely to blow up, but they're anti-science. Right? You hear this sort of language coming out of Dr. Fauci all the time at the CDC. And I'm not an original critic of Dr. Fauci. I mean, if you go back to the early days of COVID, I was saying, listen, people who are presenting us with data that we can use to make decisions, that's fine. But once you start delegating all decision-making power to people who basically are a hammer in search of a nail, then you shouldn't be surprised when they act like a hammer in search of a nail. And yet the scientific community seems utterly unwilling and unable in many ways to disengage and to say, listen, this isn't our job. And I think that because science has such high credibility with the American public, it's one of these still the only kind of things in America that we're supposed to trust, that scientists tend to use that club a lot when they really should be a little bit more epistemologically humble in this
humble,
process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, one of the things I point out in the book is that the facts of science are, or should be, totally neutral. This is something from a wonderful Scottish philosopher, David Hume, many years ago. He's one of the pioneers of the Enlightenment. A fact is, it doesn't tell you what to do. And the scientific establishment should be looking at facts. It shouldn't be dictating moral judgments and so on. Now, medical science is complicated because it's science, but it also has these health and safety priorities. But it's up to the political system to take control. I mean, yeah, if you give people power, they will use it. And, you know, as Lord Acton says, power corrupts and all that. But it's up to the political system to take the responsibility for the decisions. I think so. Some of the flaws are with them rather than with the Faucis and Birxes and so on. They were reluctant, I think, many politicians, to accept responsibility and say, well, medical, follow the science. Science isn't a fixed thing, or it rarely is a fixed thing. And medical science about epidemics certainly is not fixed. I mean, it's changing all the time as new data come in and so on and so on.
We're speaking with Professor John Stadden. His new book is Science in the Age of Unreason. So, Professor Stadden, you talk about the lack of scientific debate, dissenters being treated as pariahs. This is obviously true across a wide variety of topics. We've been told that there are a bunch of topics that you're no longer allowed to study because they undercut the bases for political theories. So if you're talking about, for example, scientific topics surrounding IQ, you're never allowed to talk about those sorts of things. If you're talking about baseline brain differences between men and women, you're never supposed to talk about that sort of stuff. If you're talking about the biological basis of sex, this sort of stuff has now become utterly taboo to the point that you have full-on institutions like the American Academy of Pediatrics suggesting that it is anti-scientific to even address these issues.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, really worrisome. I comment in the book, and I'm not the first person to do so, the comparison with this chap, Trofim Lysenko, who was a very famous Soviet agriculturist in the 1940s and so on. He was the Soviet version of an affirmative action baby. He wasn't, of course, wasn't racial in the Soviet Union. It was by class, and he came from good peasant stock, so we have to trust him. And he was completely wrong about genetics. He had an environment-only, non-genetic view of crops, and he recommended policies that literally killed millions of people. Well, we sort of have that now. We don't have anyone as powerful as Stalin to give people like this total power, but it's sort of getting there. I mean, you have a chap like this, Ibram X. Kendi. He has a whole bunch of books. They're based on a fallacy. They're based on a total fallacy. And the fallacy is that all people, all individuals, have the same set of interests and abilities. And this is obviously rubbish. I don't know why people took it seriously. But if individuals differ in their interests and abilities, well, then so will groups of individuals. And therefore, their situation in life will be different. But if you say you can't, if you, it's just like Lysenko, if you say you can't consider differences in interest and ability, groups are really identical, and he goes on and on about this, groups are really, really identical, well then, if they are different in their socioeconomic success, what's the reason? Well, it's the bad guys in society, the politics, the laws and structures and so on. It must be that. Well, it's just like Lysenko. If the environment is everything, which is what he said also in connection with these crops, well, if we mess around with the environment, we can improve the fertility of the crop, grow it earlier in the season, and so on and so on. So both these things are absolutely disastrous. But for some reason, people have accepted a literally nonsensical thesis as the basis for their whole kind of racial policy. I think that people are backing off a bit now. I hope they are. But it is an absurd, absurd idea, and Kendi's not the only one promoting it, and so on.
Well, that is Professor John Stanton. Go pick up a copy of his brand new book, Science in the Age of Unreason. Really appreciate the time, Professor.
Take care.
Alrighty, folks, we've reached the end of this week, but good news, we'll be back here on Monday, so rest up, get yourself energized, because I'm sure there'll be much more to come. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Ukraine to be again on the receiving end of a U.S. military shipment. And as White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports, it's going to include drones this time.
The new $775 million aid package includes 15 surveillance drones, 40 mine-resistant vehicles, 2,000 anti-armor rounds, and howitzer weapons. Defense Department officials say the assistance is aimed at helping Ukrainian forces regain territory and mount a counteroffensive against Russian invaders. In a statement, Secretary of State Blinken said these capabilities are carefully calibrated to make the most difference on the battlefield and strengthen Ukraine's position at the negotiating table.
Meanwhile, the White House is planning to hold a summit next month aimed at combating what they say is hate-fueled violence in the U.S. The United We Stand event will kick off September 15th, feature a keynote address by President Biden. Invited guests include civil rights groups, faith leaders, law enforcement, along with former members of violent hate groups and victims of hate-motivated violence. The FBI taking another hit after last week's raid on former President Trump's Florida estate.
A new Rasmussen Report poll finds the Mar-a-Lago raid has seriously damaged the FBI's credibility in the eyes of the American people. A majority of those surveyed are said to view the FBI as President Biden's personal political hit squad. And 44% of voters surveyed say they trust the Bureau less in the aftermath of the Mar-a-Lago raid. Rich Thomason reporting.
Russia's state-owned energy company Gazprom, the only operational turbine at a key compressor station along the Nord Stream 1 pipeline linking Russia and Germany, will shut down August 31st for routine maintenance, and once the work's complete, the flow will resume, they say. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Tehran has an infestation problem.
Tehran's Contemporary Art Museum has issued an apology for temporarily closing to handle a pest infestation. The infestation raised concerns after footage of insects scuttling across world-famous works spread widely on social media. Insects, which may attack and eat away at paintings, pose a serious threat to the American and European minimalist masterpieces now on display for the first time since the 1979 Islamic Revolution ousted Iran's Western-backed monarchy. Keith Peters reporting.
Nicaraguan police raided the residence of a Roman Catholic bishop critical of President Ortega's administration, detaining him and several other priests in a dramatic escalation of tensions between the church and the government, increasingly intolerant of dissent. Ortega's government's move systematically against voices of dissent, arresting dozens of opposition leaders last year. More at townhall.com. Foot Locker names a new chief executive.
Former Ulta Beauty CEO Mary Dillon will replace Richard Johnson, who will retire next month after leading the athletic retailer since 2014. Dillon will take over the top position at Foot Locker effective September 1st. Dillon led beauty retailer Ulta Beauty from 2013 to 2021 as it doubled its numbers of stores and loyalty memberships. John Scott reporting.
Tropical storm warnings have been issued for a stretch of the lower Texas Gulf Coast and part of Mexico's northeast shoreline. Amid forecast, an offshore disturbance would become a tropical storm in coming hours. It's in the Gulf, some 400 miles south-southeast of the mouth of the Rio Grande. Forecasters say it's moving towards the northwest. NASCAR racing fans turn their eyes to Watkins Glen this weekend for the next race. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Rhonda Rockstra.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Driving around in a dirty car can impair your visibility, and removing the dirt from your vehicle is essential in keeping you safe. That's why you need to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Here's a few safety tips from Quick and Clean. Clear up the clutter by keeping a trash bag in your vehicle. Keep your phone charger in the center console, grocery bags in the seat back pocket, and an emergency kit in the trunk. Just a few safety tips from Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
Fraud and the attempts by the left to create an almost global conspiracy to deny him the presidency. The folks who suggest that Donald Trump won the 2020 election, one of the reasons they suggest that is because they say, well, the left had the motive, the means, and the opportunity. And that is the argument that I have heard, and it is the strongest argument that they make, because the truth is that there's no way to prove that Donald Trump actually won the 2020 election based on the vote count. There's no way to actually show that fraudulent voters were present in the sort of numbers that would have overturned the results in many of these states. The best that you can say in favor of the idea that the 2020 election was rigged is that it was sort of informally and generically rigged, in the sense that the media denied people the access to the information that would have needed to change their votes, in the sense that the rules were actively changed in some cases, like in Pennsylvania, against the constitution of the state of Pennsylvania in order to make it easier for people to vote absentee. It's possible to say that ballot harvesting creates the massive possibility of voter fraud, right? All of those things can be true. The actual notion that Donald Trump won based on he definitely had enough falsified ballots that he could have proved, or that ballots we can show were shipped in the middle of the night and people were in the back room punching holes in the chads, that sort of proof wasn't present. But the argument that is the most, I think, strong and convincing from the right, from those who argue this point of view, if you're trying to steel man the argument, is that the left has the motive, means, and the opportunity to steal elections, and so why wouldn't they? And the idea here is that they had the means, right? The means would be, you know, the broadening of the voting procedures and the ballot harvesting. They had the opportunity because people were voting for months in advance, and they had the motive. And the motive is really, I think, the thing that people are latching onto. The motive is really what is driving polarization in our politics, because it used to be when people say, you know, why don't people accept the results of elections anymore? And this is bipartisan. Why don't people accept the results of elections anymore? The answer is because it used to be in this country that you would suggest, yeah, no matter how much I hate the other guy, I don't have the motive to steal an election. Right? To steal an election means that I truly believe that the country is at an end if we don't steal this election. If I don't subvert the democracy, then the democracy is gone. And the argument in favor of subverting a democratic election is, if I don't do this, catastrophe occurs. And you can see times in human history where that argument could be made. Now, the communists are about to take over in a particular place, and so the CIA has to get involved to prevent Stalin from taking over Italy. That argument was made in the 1950s, for example. Right? You could make the argument with regard to Hitler Hitler is about to take over in Germany. You do everything you possibly can to stop Hitler from taking over in Germany. If you have a time machine, right? Any means at your disposal is useful and good because, after all, he's Hitler. But what has separated America historically from all of this is the idea that if the guy from the other party gets elected, it's bad, it's unpleasant, it's really bad for the direction of the country. Politics has consequences, but it is not so bad that you have the motive to steal the election. You wouldn't have the motive to undermine an election itself, to destroy election integrity. Increasingly, as we have seen in recent years, the feeling on both sides of the aisle, but particularly on the left side of the aisle, is that anything necessary in order to prevent Republicans from getting power is justified. Republicans are evil. Republicans are terrorists. Republicans are the worst people in the entire world. Donald Trump is Orange Hitler and all the rest. And if we have to subvert elections by suppressing information, then we will. And so what that leads is people on the right say, okay, well, obviously you have the motive to do this. So if I thought you had the means and the opportunity, I think you'd probably do it, right? Okay, so this comes to a head thanks to some comments made by somebody I'm friendly with, Sam Harris. So Sam Harris is a pretty interesting thinker. He's one of the new atheist crew. He's written all of these books about how atheism is morally superior and about how truth is the most important value. And Sam and I have had a couple of podcasts together. I had him on the Sunday special a few years back. He had me on his show. We debated things like God and free will. It's really interesting sort of stuff. Sam is very much of the left. And he's definitely a Democrat voting person. And apparently he believes, and this is why this is so telltale, because Sam is not a wild leftist. Sam is not somebody who is a radically left person. Sam tends to be left of center on a lot of issues, but he's not somebody who I would characterize as like a woke radical leftist or something. He actually is not. So he was on a podcast called Trigonometry, and he made some comments that I think totally throw gasoline on the flaming, raging fire of election denial and on the raging fire that's going on in terms of polarization in the country. The belief that there are, in fact, people who are willing to create conspiracies in order to deny the proper results of an election, or even willing to subvert elections entirely. Now, Sam tried to walk this back yesterday a little bit on Twitter. I don't think he did a very good job of it. But these comments went viral for a reason, because they support the idea that so many people have about people on the left, that people on the left, if they had the chance, would steal an election from Donald Trump. So here is Sam Harris a couple of days ago on Trigonometry. Again, this went totally viral yesterday.
I mean, Hunter Biden, at that point, Hunter Biden literally could have had the corpses of children in his basement. I would not have cared. Right. It's like there's nothing. First of all, it's Hunter Biden. Right. It's not Joe Biden. But even if whatever scope of Joe Biden's corruption is, like if we could just go down that rabbit hole endlessly and understand that he's getting kickbacks from Hunter Biden's deals in Ukraine or wherever else. Right. Or China. It is infinitesimal compared to the corruption we know Trump is involved in. It's like a firefly to the sun, right? I mean, like it doesn't even stack up against Trump University, right? Trump University as a story is worse than anything that could be in Hunter Biden's laptop, in my view, right? Now that doesn't answer the people who say it's still completely unfair to not have looked at the laptop in a timely way and to have shut down the New York Post's Twitter account. Like that's a left-wing conspiracy to deny the presidency to Donald Trump. Absolutely it was. Absolutely. Right. But I think it was warranted. Right. And again, it's a coin toss as to whether or not
Sam, I'm sorry.
That particular piece.
I'm really sorry. I was the one that said we should move on, but you've just said something I really struggle with there, which is
the kids in the basement?
No. The kids in the basement. I'm interested in democracy. You're saying you are content with a left-wing conspiracy to prevent somebody being democratically reelected as president.
Well, no, I'm content. Well, so, but the thing is, it's just not left-wing, right? So Liz Cheney is not left-wing, right? Liz Cheney
you're
is doing everything
with a
in her power
to prevent somebody being democratically
it's
elected.
But there's nothing conspiracy. It's not. It was a conspiracy out in the open. It doesn't matter what part's conspiracy, what part's out in the open. I mean, I think it's like, if people get together and talk about what should we do about this phenomenon, you know, if there was an asteroid hurtling toward Earth and we got in a room together with all of our friends and had a conversation about what we could do to deflect its course, right? Is that a conspiracy?
I mean, that's an amazing statement there from Sam Harris. So he openly says, okay, so there are people who are complaining that the Hunter Biden laptop story was suppressed by the media, right? So he's not even talking right now about election fraud. He's talking about what sort of information could and should be suppressed in order to effectuate an election win for Joe Biden. And he even says, what if on that laptop had been the stuff that a lot of right-wingers suspect about Joe Biden, which is that he was getting direct kickbacks from Hunter Biden for corrupt activities in Ukraine and China, right? Because that is the gravest accusation on the laptop. Forget about Hunter Biden smoking crack off hookers' asses and all the rest. The stuff that people really are concerned about with regard to Joe Biden is not the fact that Hunter Biden is a drug-addicted derelict and a horrible person. The thing that people are really concerned about in terms of the presidency is, was Hunter Biden traveling overseas to China, receiving massive amounts of money from the Chinese government, and then kicking back 10% to the big guy being Joe, right? That would actually be really troubling, because that would be significantly worse than anything that was even proved about Donald Trump, right? Like, way worse. That was the actual accusation about Trump. The accusation about Trump was that Trump was in thrall to the Russians, that Trump had basically made a trade with the Russians that they would subvert the election, and in return, he would be really, really nice to them, because if they did that, then they would also greenlight the Trump Hotel in Moscow. Or that he had a deal with Deutsche Bank, some financial deal that would allow some sort of kickback where he was being enriched personally by the Russians in order to effectuate different American policy toward Russia. And that was the accusation about Trump. It was never proved. Nothing of that kind was ever really even alleged by the Mueller report. All of it ended up being bullcrap. But what he's saying, what Sam Harris is saying, is even if that stuff were true about Joe Biden and China, or Joe Biden and Ukraine, if it turned out that Joe Biden is everything we said Donald Trump was, but could never prove, that still would not justify allowing information to flow freely to the American people. It would not allow people to see that information, because it's so important to stop Trump, right? Trump is so bad, he's an asteroid hurtling toward Earth, that it doesn't matter what you have to do to stop that asteroid. It doesn't matter if you call it a conspiracy, not a conspiracy, none of that matters. The idea here is that you have to mold the minds of the American people to prevent Donald Trump from being president of the United States. Now, Sam Harris tried to then walk this back a little bit on Twitter, and I want to be fair to Sam by reading what he actually said here. He says, there's a podcast clip circulating that seems to be confusing many people about my views on Trump, which is understandable because I wasn't speaking very clearly. So, for what it's worth, here's what I was trying to say. I was essentially arguing for a principle of self-defense, where there's a continuum of proportionate force that is appropriate and necessary to use. I've always viewed Trump as a very dangerous person to elect as president of a fake university, let alone the United States. And when he became a sitting president who would not commit to a peaceful transfer of power, I viewed him as more dangerous still. However, I've never been under any illusion that he is Orange Hitler. On the podcast, I was speaking narrowly about the wisdom and propriety of ignoring the Hunter Biden laptop story until after the election. I've always thought that this was a very hard call, ethically and journalistically. Now, right there, he gives away the game. What makes that a hard call, ethically and journalistically? And why? Again, he says in the clip, and what he's saying is, it doesn't matter how corrupt Joe Biden is. He could be any level of corrupt, right? On Hunter Biden's laptop could have been proof, direct, that Xi Jinping sent hookers, blow, and $10 million directly to Joe, not Hunter. And that would have been worthy of ignoring, because that's how bad Donald Trump was and how scary Donald Trump was. This is a hard call, ethically and journalistically. But given what happened with the Anthony Weiner laptop in the previous election, I think it was probably the right call. So, again, that's an amazing statement, because what happened, if you recall, in the last election cycle is that there were serious questions about how Hillary Clinton had treated classified information as Secretary of State. And she had stored a bunch of classified information on her laptop, and then when she was subpoenaed for all this information, she bleach bit her servers and destroyed all the information. And Anthony Weiner's laptop, in a separate investigation of Anthony Weiner, came up, and a bunch of Hillary's emails basically found their way onto Anthony Weiner's laptop, because after all, she was married to Huma Abedin. Huma Abedin was very close with Hillary Clinton. She was one of her top aides. And so he's saying that because the Anthony Weiner laptop story ended up effectuating a move toward Donald Trump in the last days of the 2016 election, and so Donald Trump ended up winning, it would have been better that that story were suppressed. Right? This story should be suppressed. That story should have been suppressed. And note, he's saying that before Donald Trump had been president. So the notion that between 2016 and 2020, Trump proved himself to be so dangerous, it was about election denial, that he proved himself so dangerous in July, August, September, October of 2020, that you could not allow him to remain as president of the United States. It's not about that. I mean, Sam is openly saying now that he, if he had a choice, would go back and have suppressed the Anthony Weiner laptop information. That's 2016, before Trump has done any of this kind of stuff. He says, nothing I said on the podcast was meant to suggest that Democrats would have been right to commit election fraud or to take other illegal measures to deny Trump the presidency, nor do I think they did that. but I don't know why the principle doesn't hold. So, is there a so according to Sam Harris, there's a continuum. The continuum goes from suppressing open stories by the New York Post that affect the election to openly just shoving fake ballots into boxes. He says, I'm not going to do the latter thing, but suppressing the former thing, that I'm kind of okay with. And I'm kind of okay with denying Trump the presidency. But here's the problem. Once you're on that continuum, that's not just a slippery slope. You're going to have to explain the principle. Why is Donald Trump so dangerous that you can shut down the ability of people to distribute true information about Joe Biden in order to prevent Joe Biden from losing? But he's not dangerous enough that you're actually willing to stuff ballot boxes. Like, explain to me how that continuum works. I mean, Sam says it's a continuum. So how does that continuum work? So a lot of conservatives suspect there is no continuum. A lot of conservatives suspect that this is completely ad hoc. That if in the secret recesses of the Democratic halls of power, they had the ability to actually stuff ballot boxes, they would do it. And that if you're openly saying, the part you say out loud is, I'm willing to shut down the New York Post distribution of Hunter Biden stories. The stuff that you're really saying in the back of your mind is pretty much anything that we have to do to deny Donald Trump the presidency, we are willing to do. So why should I believe you when you say that the election was carried out in fair and decent fashion? And that is the thinking of a lot of people on the right side of the aisle. Now, again, that doesn't prove that the election was stolen. It proves motive. It doesn't prove means and opportunity. And it certainly doesn't prove that it actually even happened. Because, again, the states that we are talking about that actually certified their ballots were all run by Republicans, right? You had a Republican legislature in Pennsylvania. You had a Republican legislature in Arizona and a Republican secretary of state and a Republican secretary of state in Georgia and a Republican governor. Also in Arizona, you had a Republican governor, right? So, like, the notion that this, that the mere presence of the motive proves that the thing happened is not true. And many people have terrible, terrible motives with regard to other people. It doesn't prove that they committed any crime against that person. However, it's the motive that is really undergirding the complete separation in the United States, the complete polarization in the United States. And that lack of trust is tearing us apart on an institutional level, tearing us apart because you believe the minute that guy gets access to the levers of power, you know what he thinks. You know his motive. So if he gains access to the sword, what you suspect is that he's going to use it. And that's incredibly dangerous. That's why people are so fired up, for example, about the FBI raid. Because the idea here is we know that you guys hate Donald Trump. We know you despise him. We know that you spent 4 years going after him for a bunch of garbage with regard to Russia. And now you have control of that sword again. So why should we believe you that you are using that in fair fashion when you've made very clear that you don't wish to use that in fair fashion? People have these suspicions about, for example, big tech. And they should have those suspicions about big tech. All right, so you heard Sam Harris say the quiet part out loud, that they are willing to basically subvert information for the purpose of winning an election. So the real question is, what else are you guys willing to do? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Gold Leaf Nursery is open. Have you noticed all the different colors of crepe myrtles blooming? They have several varieties and colors. Dwarf size, semi-dwarf, up to full size to choose from. And right now, they're on sale. And they are drought tolerant. It's a great time to buy. Gold Leaf Nursery carries a large selection of water-wise shrubs and trees. Gold Leaf Nursery and Landscaping since 1975. Open Wednesday through Saturday. Come in now to pick out your favorite color of crepe myrtles. Gold Leaf Nursery, located on Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com. For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Driving around in a dirty car can impair your visibility, and removing the dirt from your vehicle is essential in keeping you safe. That's why you need to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Here's a few safety tips from Quick and Clean. Clear up the clutter by keeping a trash bag in your vehicle. Keep your phone charger in the center console, grocery bags in the seat back pocket, and an emergency kit in the trunk. Just a few safety tips from Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Sam Harris said out loud on a microphone in front of millions of people, he said that he was willing to see stories suppressed by a conspiracy in order so that Trump wouldn't win. So this raises the question for a lot of people on the right. So now I'm supposed to believe you when you say that the election was not rigged? Or when you say, yeah, I'm willing to cheat with regard to this thing, but over here, that's too much cheating for me. Why should I believe you? You've now said that you're willing to cheat. So why, you're talking to me, right? You're not talking in the recesses with your friends. So why? That motive question is so dangerous in America. Like, so I'm one thing that I really despise in American politics, and it happens again on both sides a lot, is what we call emotivism. Emotivism is the idea that somebody makes an argument, and instead of you arguing with the argument, you argue with the motive of the argument. You attribute a motive to the person, and then you argue with the motive. You see this happen all the time in, for example, gender ideology. You see it happen, Matt Walsh, when he did his fantastic documentary, What is a Woman? He would go around, and he would ask a bunch of gender theorists, what is a woman? And their first question back to him would be, why are you asking? Why are you asking? Right? They don't want to engage with the question or the argument. And so they go immediately to, you're malicious. You're bad. Your motives are evil. Right? I don't like that kind of politics. I think that kind of politics generally stinks. I think politics should be about the argument itself. But when you make clear the motive, when you say the motive out loud, now it's about your motives. I mean, it's not my fault. You're the one who made it about your motives. When Sam Harris says, yeah, my motive is I am willing to suppress information to prevent Donald Trump from winning. And I think that's an easy moral call because Trump University is worse than if Joe Biden took cash from China. Like, first of all, what? Then at that point, it is your motive that's on the table. And once the motives are on the table, very difficult to put that genie back in the bottle. And so, yes, people are very fearful that the institutions of power in the United States have been infected with these motives and that it has poisoned all of those institutions. Start with big tech. So there's a very good piece in the Wall Street Journal a couple days ago from our friend Vivek Ramaswamy and Jed Rubenfeld of Yale talking about Alex Berenson. So Alex Berenson, he's now back on Twitter after being banned for nearly a year over COVID-19 misinformation. Last week, the former New York Times reporter settled his lawsuit against the social media company, which admitted error and then restored his account. The First Amendment doesn't apply to private companies like Twitter, Berenson wrote last week on Substack, but because the Biden administration brought pressure to bear on Twitter, he believes he has a case, his constitutional rights were violated. He is correct. So what exactly happened here? Well, Berenson went through the discovery process in suing Twitter, and that discovery process confirmed that the White House has been secretly asking social media companies to shut down the contents of specific prominent critics of administration policy. On July 16, 2021, a reporter asked President Biden, quote, on COVID misinformation, what's your message to platforms like Facebook? And Biden replied, quote, they are killing people. Later that day, Twitter locked Berenson's account. On August 28th, it banned him permanently. Last Friday, Berenson published conversations from an internal Twitter Slack channel referring to an April 2021 meeting with White House officials. One Twitter employee noted that the meeting overall was pretty good, but added that the White House had one really tough question about why Alex Berenson hasn't been kicked off the platform. Another employee asked, any high-level takeaways from the meeting? Anything we should keep an eye out for? The first employee responded yes. They really wanted to know about Alex Berenson. The employee wrote that Andy Slavitt, then a senior White House COVID advisor, quote, suggested they had seen data that had showed that he was the epicenter of disinformation that radiated outwards to the persuadable public. Berenson was not the only target. At a July 15th, 2021 meeting, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said, quote, we're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spreads disinformation. There's about 12 people who are producing 65% of anti-vax misinformation on social media platforms. This is a reference to the so-called Disinformation Dozen, 12 named individuals identified in a report by the UK-based Center for Countering Digital Hate, a report that Facebook disputed, even as it said it had taken action against the targets. Saki went on to say that 12 of them remained active on Facebook, despite some being banned on other platforms, including ones that Facebook owns. At the same briefing, Surgeon General Vivek Murthy called on social media companies to purge more COVID posts. He said, "We're asking them to consistently take action against misinformation super spreaders on their platform." And a week later, Nick Clegg, a former UK deputy prime minister and now Facebook parent Meta's president for global affairs, emailed Murthy to thank him for meeting with Facebook and to report on the steps we took just this past week to further address the disinformation dozen. We removed 17 additional pages, groups, and Instagram accounts tied to the disinformation dozen, resulting in every member having had at least one such entity removed. So you now have the White House overtly coordinating with the biggest platforms to effectuate policy changes by silencing critics, by silencing voices. And this didn't stop in 2020. Already coming up, it's not just that Twitter is basically doing the work of the White House, it's Facebook too. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Kids are back in school, and Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive knows that crowded parking lots can lead to fender benders, door dings, dents, and scratches. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive has you covered. Mako offers free estimates, works with most major insurance companies, and pricing is about 30% less than the national average. Uh-oh, better call Mako at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is La Unica Dominican Primeros. Premium shade-grown Connecticut wrappers combined with a long filler blend of aged Cuban seed Dominican tobaccos, providing a smooth, mellow to medium-bodied experience. It's a rich and balanced selection with subtle hints of nuts, cream, and fruit. La Unica Dominican Primeros. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
1968.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So they say, trust the institutions, trust them, trust big tech, trust all of them. And then, meanwhile, they just use these as institutions of power to cudgel you. Nick Clegg has now put out a statement this week talking about what Facebook is going to do for the 2022 U.S. midterm elections. And here's what he has to say. He says, our approach to the 2022 midterm elections applies learnings from the 2020 election cycle and exceeds the measures we implemented during the last midterm election in 2018. This includes advanced security operations to fight foreign interference and domestic influence campaigns, our network of independent fact-checking partners. Those independent fact-checking partners are universally left-wing, and when they fact-check, what they actually do is they implication check. So if you say something that is true, Snopes will say, mostly false. He'll say, yeah, what you said is true, sure, but the implication is mostly false. Our industry-leading transparency measures around political advertising and pages, as well as new measures to help keep poll workers safe. As we did in 2020, we have a dedicated team in place to combat election and voter interference, while also helping people get reliable information about when and how to vote. Nick Clegg says our teams fight both foreign interference and domestic influence operation and have exposed and disrupted dozens of networks that have attempted to interfere with U.S. elections. And some of this is about preventing Russia from intervening. But the second thing is about downgrading particular information. Remember, it was Facebook that, and it was Nick Clegg, who originally said, yeah, you know what we're going to have to do here is we're going to have to suppress this New York Post story. So all those institutions of power are perfectly willing to suppress information on behalf of a particular political cause or at the behest of the White House. And this is why people are deeply suspicious of the FBI search on Donald Trump's home, because institutional trust is at all-time lows, as well it should be. Once the motive has been said, it cannot be unsaid. Once you say your motive out loud, the bell cannot be unrung. So what we are learning right now is, and then you have, you know, the FBI trotting out disgraced former agents like Peter Strzok saying, trust us. We don't. So Peter Strzok, who you'll recall, was caught in a text messaging scandal with one of his subordinates. He was screwing her. They were both married. And they were texting one another about how much they hated Donald Trump throughout the investigation that he was leading into both Hillary Clinton and the 2016 emails, and he was also leading the investigation into Trump and the Trump-Russia collusion kind of stuff. Now, Peter Strzok ended up being fired unceremoniously. He's disgraced himself, but now he's back to explain that, for example, the affidavit in the FBI raid on Trump's house should not be released. Why? Well, you know, he says, well, it reveals sources and methods. Okay, invariably, the people who are calling for lack of transparency in these particular types of cases are the people you probably shouldn't trust. Here's Peter Strzok.
Do you think any part of the affidavit should be revealed?
No, and I'd be surprised if it was. You know, in any other case not involving a former president of the United States, I'd expect the judge to rule immediately at the conclusion of the presentations from both sides. He may, in this case, because of the significant nature of the case, want to go and draft an opinion and make sure all the T's are crossed and I's dotted. But ordinarily, I would not expect to have it released, and I would expect to have an order or decision out of the judge during this hearing.
And the and people in the media are like, oh, yeah, that's fine. You know, lack of transparency. Fine with us. Weird, because you guys were all for massive transparency when it comes to, for example, police officers involved in controversial shootings. Then you want the tape yesterday. But when it comes to, for example, surveillance footage of the FBI going through Donald Trump's belongings, then you got Peter Strzok out there on CNN saying, yeah, no, we definitely can't. I mean, that tape should not be available to the general public. I mean, it's only the most controversial single FBI action of the last, I don't know, 40 years or so.
You know, my main concern is one of physical security for the agents and other personnel involved in the search. If these are images where people can be identified, where they can have a name identified along with their image, that obviously in the context of what we're looking at now with threats to the judge, with threats to FBI personnel and offices, that really heightens the risk to those agents and other personnel who took part in that search. From an optics perspective, you know, Trump and his camp are talking a big game about releasing it, but I have some question about whether an average American viewer watching FBI agents walk out with box after box after box of highly classified information, whether that in fact is an image that is going to serve Trump very well.
Yeah, so again, it's not a big deal. You shouldn't worry about it. Just trust us. Derek Graff has a piece over at the New York Times today. He's the author of a book called Watergate, A New History. He has an op-ed at the New York Times today talking about how basically the right should leave the FBI alone because the FBI is generally conservative. He says, historically, the FBI has been arguably the most culturally conservative and traditionally white Christian institution in the entire U.S. government. It's an institution so culturally conservative, even by the standards of law enforcement, that Democratic presidents have never felt comfortable or politically emboldened enough to nominate a Democrat to head the bureau. That's right, far from being a bastion of progressive thinking, every single director of the FBI has been a Republican-aligned official going all the way back to its creation. Such history suggests that the issue here is Mr. Trump and not institutional bias. So the idea here is that, you know, all you guys are complaining about the FBI. What are you complaining about? What are you complaining about? After all, they're your people. Well, I mean, there's only one problem with that, and that is the institutional forces inside all of these institutions, including the FBI, if they're congenitally predisposed at the top levels against Donald Trump, and if that's being improved by the DOJ under Merrick Garland, I'm not sure what that says about the everyday agent sitting behind his desk. I mean, this is the same sort of complaint that you hear. To the right, we'll say, we are very critical of the leadership of the U.S. military. A lot of the leaders of the U.S. military have bought into sort of the woke, progressive, equity-based agenda with regards to the United States military. They are wokeifying the military, and it's really stupid, and it's undermining combat readiness. And the left will go, well, yeah, but you guys love the military. The military is filled with people who agree with you. Well, yes, throughout the military, but at the very top levels, the way that you become a top-level general in the military is by being political. The grunts on the ground know this. Everybody, talk to anybody in any branch of the military, and what they will tell you is once you hit the upper levels of the political echelon of the military, you're a political general. You got up there because you're very good at politicking. The same thing happens to be true with the upper levels of the FBI. So just because the average FBI agent may be politically conservative doesn't change whether the FBI has at its top levels a bunch of politicians who are maneuvering, because that's what happens in every bureaucracy. And so, again, trust us tends to go by the wayside when you have undermined your own trust. And I keep saying that it's true in every institution. This is why it feels like the country is breaking, even though the United States is still the most powerful force on planet Earth by a wide margin. Okay, China cannot challenge the United States. The United States is a massively powerful economy. The United States has the most powerful military in world history. The United States is a powerhouse. It is a global hegemon. And yet we are talking about the kind of breakup of the United States in terms of social fabric. And the reason is because all the institutions that used to unify us are now falling apart because you can't trust the guy in charge because his motives seem to be wrong. And it's every part of the American government. And the CDC is a perfect example of this. So yesterday, Rochelle Walensky announced that they are shaking up the CDC. By shaking up, it doesn't mean that they've actually recognized their big mistakes. Their big mistakes here were politicizing all of the data that was coming out, lying about it to the American public, making statements that were way beyond their capacity to make, saying that you didn't need masks, and then you did need masks, and then you need to mask up your two-year-old, and then you need seven different vaccinations, and that if you did get vaccinated, you wouldn't transmit. Or if you did transmit, well, you still probably had to quarantine. And if you did quarantine, well, you didn't quarantine long enough, and you have to shut down. Like, the CDC was issuing rulings about eviction moratoria. The CDC had too much power. If you actually wanted to shake up the CDC, what you would do is use a little bit of epistemic humility. Right? You'd actually look at their system and say, okay, what if we shrank what it is that we say that we can do and we're much more cautious in our application? But that's not what the CDC is doing. Their argument is they need more power. Their big mistake is that they weren't forceful enough during the last pandemic. So when they say a shakeup, what they mean is give us more power, as always. Here's Rochelle Walensky, the current head of the CDC.
We learned some hard lessons over the last 3 years, and as part of that is my responsibility, it's the agency's responsibility to learn from those lessons and do better.
The new findings are likely to spark a major shakeup of the CDC's sprawling bureaucracy. Among the plans, get information to the public more rapidly, create a new office to promote equity in healthcare, and develop a more nimble workforce that can quickly respond to public health crises.
We need to have a special forces, if you will, to deploy during pandemic times.
Do you think they're up to the task of now changing their whole culture and thinking of themselves more like special forces that can be deployed wherever they're needed?
I have no doubt that they're up to the task.
No doubt that they're up to the task. By the way, notice some of the goals that they're saying. Equity in healthcare. Does that sound like something that has to do with the CDC? Equity, as we learned from Kamala Harris, is the basically stupid idea that everybody in the United States is equally likely to accomplish or be subjected to anything in a normal situation, and any imbalance in result is due to some sort of evil in the system. Does that sound something like that the CDC should be promoting? The changes that they want are more power, right? That's what they're looking for. They want to establish an Office of Intergovernmental Affairs to smooth partnerships with other agencies and a higher-level office on health equity. She says that she wants to be able to move with more alacrity to get out actionable data. And by actionable data, that presumably means telling people what to do. Because, again, the notion that the CDC was not active enough during this pandemic is pretty insane. And by the way, I just love that the people, it's like the Federal Reserve. The people who botched the response are the same people who are charged with fixing it. So the Federal Reserve, and it blows out inflation to 40-year highs, and it's like, well, maybe Jerome Powell will fix it. I mean, isn't he the one who blew it in the first place? So here you have Anthony Fauci being like, you know who can fix this? I can. And Rochelle Walensky can. We're the people to fix it. You're the problem.
I think they should be commended in the fact, particularly Dr. Walensky, realizing and recognizing the shortcomings that have been there for quite a long time, long antedating Dr. Walensky's tenure. And I think it was the stress and the challenge of a historic pandemic that brought some of those deficiencies into sharp relief. So I believe we should commend them for realizing that, particularly Dr. Walensky.
We should commend them, guys. I mean, don't you feel like commending the CDC for all the amazing work that it has done so far? And don't you think that Anthony Fauci should be the one who's actually giving the commendation? He should be the one pinning the medals. That's how good he is at this. Again, all the institutions in American life, I keep repeating it over, they seem to be falling apart because the people in charge of these institutions have motives that are at odds with the motivations of the American people. That's not just true inside of actual governmental institutions. It's true in terms of the institutions that we should have the most trust in America, namely, like, the scientific institutions. And the institution of science has brought about more progress and prosperity than any institution over the course of the last century, and yet they are continuously undermining themselves with questions of motive and injecting politics and ideology into what should be a hypothesis result ordering. Okay, science used to be about, here's my hypothesis, and then we get the data, and then we see what the result is. And now it's about, I'm not even allowed to posit a hypothesis that contradicts anything that the woke ideology says. And then they're like, but why don't you trust the science? We'll get to more of this in just a moment. But first, a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate is estimated to be upwards of 10%. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation, and the name to know is Noble Gold. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. Mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Alrighty, coming up, all of our institutions seem like they are under threat. You're talking about the FBI, you are talking about the CDC, and then you're also talking about, you know, all of science. All of science just generally is under threat. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Noon.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hey everyone, Kevin Cry here. I'd like to invite you to listen to my new radio show every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. We'll be talking about everything Shasta County, family, work, recreation, and the topics most important to all of us living here in the Great North State. We'll have roundtable discussions and different guests every week to share with all of you what is going on in Shasta County. Join me, Kevin Cry, every Tuesday right here from 6 to 7 p.m. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed. It's time to embrace American values. Our society is based on the freedom, not begging the government for permission. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Come check out my show every other Sunday, 8 to 9, Liberty Unabashed.
Kids are back in school, and Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive knows that crowded parking lots can lead to fender benders, door dings, dents, and scratches. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive has you covered. Mako offers free estimates, works with most major insurance companies, and pricing is about 30% less than the national average. Uh-oh, better call Mako at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we keep hearing from all of our friends on the left, trust the science, trust the science. Also, I am a non-binary cat, and I know this because of astrophysics. Science was supposed to be the most impervious to this kind of stuff, and instead it seems that science is now the bleeding edge of institutional breakdown. And it doesn't help when you have articles like this one from Science Magazine. You ready? This is in Science Magazine. Quote, how astrophysics helped me embrace my non-binary gender identity in all its complexity. Astrophysics helped you embrace your non-binary gender identity. This is so science-y, man. The science is just pouring out my ears reading this right here. Growing up, I asked a lot of questions. Many of them foretold my future in astronomy. Why is the sun yellow? Why do constellations look like that? Why does Jupiter have a spot? My parents answered what they could and bought me books to answer the rest. My most frequent question, starting when I was 5 years old, was, why am I a girl? And for that, my parents had no answer. In fact, in the 1990s, in the foothills of the Appalachians, no one did. It was my first encounter with a question that has no simple answer. Actually, it turns out that it has the simplest answer ever. Ever. So I don't know if her parents were just idiots or what. But, like, if my daughter asked me why I'm a girl, okay, let's go through this. You have no Y chromosomes. You pee sitting down. Like, why don't we start with those? Like, this is not difficult at all. And yet we're supposed to pretend it's difficult on the basis of they can't cite biology. But I love this. It's a science magazine. They're not like, well, how biology helped me embrace my non-binary gender identity. They can't say that because biology would not help you embrace your non-binary gender identity. So you have to go to astrophysics. You have to go to astrophysics. You have to learn about quantum mechanics in order to get to the idea that you are both, quote, I found the label Trent non-binary through friends on Twitter. With its fluidity and disavowal of the traditional two-gender system, non-binary felt right. It felt like home. That's what science is. Science is a bunch of feelings, didn't you know? That's how Einstein came out with his theories. He didn't actually work through the data. He didn't work the math. He sat there, and then he felt things. That's how we do science. It felt like I had spent my whole life trying to solve a chaotic system, only to realize there wasn't one answer, but many. It was then I realized I am a photon, possessing qualities inherent to either side of the binary, but ultimately belonging to neither. Oh, you're a photon, are you? I noticed more like you're a biological mammal. My God. But trust the scientific institutions. Except that the scientific institutions have been completely broken. As Julia Mason and Lior Sapir write in a piece for the Wall Street Journal, the American Academy of Pediatrics is now pushing dubious transgender science. Quote, a spate of headlines this month declared America's surge in transgender identification was not being caused by social contagion. These articles were prompted by a new study by Jack Turbin and colleagues in pediatrics, the flagship journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Turbin, by the way, is a propagandist extraordinaire. He's a radical trans propagandist. Everything he puts out is basically garbage. The study claimed that social influence isn't the reason that as many as 9% of America's youth now call themselves trans. Thus, Dr. Turbin argues, efforts in conservative states to regulate on-demand puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgery must be resisted. And Dr. Turbin's study is deeply flawed and likely couldn't have survived a reasonable peer review process. The swift response from the scientific community made both points clear. Even those who support hormones and surgery for gender dysphoric youth noted that Dr. Turbin's shoddy science undermined their cause. Nevertheless, the media have promoted his work as a refutation of the claim that the wildfire spread of trans identity is an example of social contagion. The Turbin study rejects the social contagion theory on the grounds that more biological boys than girls identified as trans in 2017 and 2019, according to data collected from 19 states by the CDC. But the researchers who helped design the CDC questionnaire explicitly warned that youths who identify as trans may list their sex as their gender identity, making it impossible to discern who is a male to female or female to male. In this latest study, he cites three sources suggesting that respondents interpret sex as sex assigned at birth, even though none of the studies says anything of the sort. But the AAP keeps giving Dr. Turbin a platform. Over and over and over, the American Academy of Pediatrics don't care about kids. They care about the ideology. That's all they give a crap about. Pediatrics published his highly flawed 2020 study alleging puberty blockers reduce suicide in teens. The journal even chose that article as its best of 2020, despite receiving rebuttals that pointed out that the rate of attempted suicide was twice as high among the puberty block group, and that Dr. Turbin had not controlled for the possibility that better mental health outcomes might be the result of factors other than hormonal intervention. The AAP keeps ignoring the evidence that has led Sweden, Finland, and most recently the UK to place severe restrictions on medical transition for minors. The AAP is a disaster area, but trust the science, guys. And not only should you trust the science, by the way, the DOJ will now try to prosecute you if you doubt the science. So massive controversy has now broken out over people committing the grave sin of showing clips of members of the Boston Children's Hospital trans team talking about transing the children. If you show the clips, this makes you a stochastic terrorist. Well, I can see why they're upset about people showing the clips. The clips are super disturbing and make you look at the BCH and think, why are you committing active acts of child abuse and trauma against children? And for example, here is a BCH doctor, Boston Children's Hospital, bragging about mastectomies, double mastectomies for 15-year-old girls.
The eligibility for getting gender-affirming surgeries at Boston Children's Hospital is basically the same as it would be for most other hospitals or surgeons in the United States. And that's the case because we all follow the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, or WPATH, standards of care. For top surgery, you are requested, but not required, to have been on gender-affirming hormones for at least a year. If you're a trans woman, it's really encouraged that you be on estrogen for at least a year because you want to maximize your natural breast growth. Many surgical centers require you to be 18. At Boston Children's Hospital, for top surgeries, we'll see people as young as age 15 if they've been affirmed in their gender for a long period of time and don't really have any other life complications that make surgery inappropriate.
And this is, and I love the happy dappy music underneath. WPATH, by the way, is a propaganda organization on behalf of mutilation of children. That is what they are. Meanwhile, the Boston Children's Hospital is promoting a program called HOTT, H-O-T-T, in which adults teach minors how to tuck their penis with medical tape so it looks like a vagina. Really important stuff. Health outreach to teens. It's a welcoming, non-judgmental, confidential program designed specifically to meet the health and wellness needs of LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign young adults aged 13 to 24. And one of those services is teaching them how to tuck and tape your genitals up underneath you if you are a boy to look more like a girl. So, people have pointed this out, and then it turns out people get agitated and they call up BCH and they're like, what the hell? So, you now have the DOJ stepping in. That's right. Statement from the Department of Justice regarding alleged threats made to Boston Children's Hospital. By the way, have they been doing anything about the mass firebombings of pregnancy clinics or pro-life clinics? Have they done anything about, or churches? No, not a thing. But today's news about the alleged threats directed at BCH transgender health program is disturbing, to say the least. Children deserve an opportunity to thrive and grow as their own authentic selves. The most authentic kind of child is the one where you slice off their breasts at 15. When I think authenticity, I think take a boy, tape his penis up underneath his body and push his testicles up into his undercarriage. That's the most authentic type of child there is. Like, slow clap for these morons. I want to make clear that the DOJ will ensure equal protection of transgender people under the law. As Attorney General Merrick Garland recently said, at the Justice Department, we view confronting hate crimes as both our legal and our moral obligation. I have made confronting hate crimes a priority of my administration, establishing a unit dedicated to the investigation and prosecution of civil rights violations. So they have to the DOJ is now stepping in. And just like they stepped in to fight parents who are defending their kids, with all of its institutional integrity, to push this sort of stuff. Just amazing, amazing stuff from the people you ought to trust the most. Great sign. So many institutions that we ought to trust. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. U.S. District Court Judge of the District Court of Florida granted a class-wide preliminary injunction from the federal COVID shot mandate on behalf of those who are in active or reserve status in the Marine Corps. Liberty Counsel founder and chairman Matt Staver tells the Salem Radio Network it was a hard-fought fight that lasted nearly a year.
I can tell you it's brought a lot of relief to service members and their families and tears of joy and happiness. This has been a long time in the making. We've been working on this since October, 10 plus months at this point.
Staver says the decision means active duty and reserve Marines cannot be forced to take the shots.
Those individuals are now protected. They cannot be forced to take the COVID shots against their sincerely held religious beliefs. They cannot be punished. They cannot be stigmatized. They cannot be retributed against. They are protected.
Federal judge sentenced the member of an Islamic State cell known as the Beatles to life in prison for involvement in a hostage-taking plot that eventually led to several killings.
El-Shafi El-Sheikh was sentenced to life in prison without parole for what a federal judge in Alexandria, Virginia called horrific, barbaric, brutal, and of course, criminal. A jury in April concluded the former British citizen was part of an Islamic State cell nicknamed the Beatles for their English accents. They beheaded American hostages in areas of the Middle East controlled by the militant group. El-Sheikh was found guilty on 4 counts of hostage taking and 4 counts of conspiracy after a 2-week trial. At the peak of its power from 2014 to 2017, Islamic State ruled over millions of people and claimed responsibility or inspired attacks in dozens of cities around the world. I'm Bill Alexander in Washington.
And you can always check out the latest news and the best analysis. They're both at townhall.com.
Hi, Dennis Prager here with some information on a new product that's quite fascinating for staying healthy, Cofix RX. Everybody's been in the situation, the person next to you is sniffling or even coughing. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to minimize airborne viral threats? To reduce your chance of getting hurt, you wear a safety belt when you're driving, and to limit sun damage, you wear sunscreen on the beach. Cofix is just like that. Cofix is a providone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that helps keep you protected from airborne viruses. With Cofix RX nasal spray, you'll target colds, flus, and other viruses right where they breed, in your nasal cavity. Cofix RX should be in everyone's pocket, purse, or medicine cabinet. Visit CofixRx, that's CofixRx.com, for a doctor, pharmacy, or health food retailer near you, or use the coupon code Prager for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
A story that took 12 years to write and whose worth is now in the billions as a new owner.
J.R.R. Tolkien's most famous works have been sold. Details of the sale are not known, but the works have an estimated value of $2 billion. And purchasing Middle Earth Enterprises Swedish gaming company Embracer now owns Tolkien's Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Embracer recently purchased comic book company Dark Horse, which publishes Hellboy and The Umbrella Academy. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
The Big Ten announced its new 7-year media rights deal with Fox, NBC, and CBS. The conference's soon-to-be 16-member universities eventually will share more than $1 billion in revenue per year. Starting in 2024, when USC and UCLA join the conference, Big Ten Saturdays will be structured similar to the NFL, with three marquee games being carried in consecutive time slots on three different major TV networks. Townhall.com. Media critic Brian Stelter is out of a job.
CNN has canceled its weekly program on the media Reliable Sources, and host Brian Stelter will be leaving the network. The show, which predated Stelter's arrival from the New York Times, will have its last telecast on Sunday. Under new president Chris Licht, CNN's been looking to cut costs, but also to put a less opinionated product on the air. Stelter has written a book on the Fox News Channel and had been particularly critical of that network on the air. Keith Peters reporting.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg telling airlines to do a better job of helping stranded travelers or they'll face new regulations. Buttigieg wants airlines to provide lodging for passengers stranded overnight. He also says they should give out meal vouchers when flights are delayed 3 hours or longer if the disruption is caused by something in the airline's control. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Driving around in a dirty car can impair your visibility, and removing the dirt from your vehicle is essential in keeping you safe. That's why you need to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Here's a few safety tips from Quick and Clean. Clear up the clutter by keeping a trash bag in your vehicle. Keep your phone charger in the center console, grocery bags in the seat back pocket, and an emergency kit in the trunk. Just a few safety tips from Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
I've been getting some grief for once suggesting that I thought Avenatti could be a serious candidate for president. So give me a media critique. Was that stupid on my part? What do you make of how Avenatti was covered by CNN and MSNBC?
Oh, the irony. The delicious, tasty irony. Bye-bye, Brian. It is the Chris Plant Show, Friday on the Chris Plant Show. Friday, hallelujah to you. Happy Friday. You made it to the finish line, and you were gifted with a wonderful treat yesterday. A little bit of schadenfreude happening all yesterday afternoon, evening, and we will continue it again today as we say goodbye to Brian Stelter and Reliable Sources, another ironically named program over there at the CNN. Now, before we get, you know, really into the farewell to Brian Stelter, we're going to do a deep, deep, deep tribute to him, as this show must do. Before we get too deep into it, I would like to say I don't celebrate any adult with children losing their job. Losing your job, even if you don't have kids, is tough. But Brian Stelter will bounce back. He will find another spot. There are so many liberal outlets out there, it's hard to imagine he won't be back somewhere. He won't be popping up again. So CNN cancels Reliable Sources. Brian Stelter now has a unreliable paycheck. And we have one less clown to mock in the circus that is CNN, the Circus News Network. He'll be fine. Don't worry about Brian Stelter. There will be no need for telethons. I did have many laugh-out-loud moments yesterday as I read through so many of the, and I'm using air quotes here with my fingers, tributes to Mr. Stelter after the news broke that he had gotten the call to pop into human resources. You know, Reliable Sources was a reliable program for years and years and years, and Howie Kurtz, who's now over on Fox, had hosted it prior to Brian Stelter taking over and taking it down to the depths of the bottom of the credibility ocean. He was nowhere near the top of the credibility ocean at all. And I'm only shocked and surprised to see that Oliver's henchman, his Jafar, if you will, Oliver Darcy, apparently didn't get the boot as well. Or maybe that's just a delayed explosion that's headed his way. Oliver Darcy is someone I have absolutely zero respect for. Less respect for Darcy than I had for Stelter. I think Darcy's even more dangerous because he's devious. I know this personally. But he apparently claims that CNN is giving him the opportunity to continue going after conservative media. He came from the Blaze. He was inside at the Blaze. But that's for another day. Today is Brian Stelter's day. He's probably packed up his office already. Usually in situations like this, it's timed for a Thursday afternoon announcement. So Friday, the network can deal with all of the backlash and or response or flack, and then get on with whatever they're going to put in that time slot. Now, Stelter will be given the unusual, at least unusual in radio, opportunity to say goodbye. And so Sunday will be his last show, and probably the most watched version of Reliable Sources in years, because he has been such a media clown. And so I will watch. You will probably watch. And there may be mockable moments there. Now, the big question is, do you think there will be tears? I hope the crew, the audio crew, the hair and makeup crew, well, the makeup crew, there's not a lot of hair to deal with Stelter. I'm follically challenged myself, so I'm allowed to say things like that. I hope the hair and makeup crews and the camera crews and audio crews, all of the below-the-line people, are able to continue working at CNN. CNN's apparently trying to drift back towards credibility, someplace they have not been in quite a while. The new leader of CNN, the Zucker replacement, has gotten rid of, well, let's see, Tubin's out, and now Stelter's out, and of course we got rid of the lesser Cuomo earlier this year. So there is a slight transformation. One can only wonder who's next. Who's next? Is it Don the Lemon? Is it John Avlon? Is it Tapper? Could it be any of the fake news follies that will be shown the door? We will see. We will keep an eye on it. You're welcome to speculate. And also, if you want to guess what the farewell will be from Brian Stelter. So many potato memes yesterday. I could not keep up with them. And there were people who were supportive of him, which is okay. He just didn't have enough audience. This is the free market capitalism having its way with Brian Stelter. Free market capitalism saying, you can't pay the bills here, so you got to go. He'll get a payout. He'll get some sort of farewell check. And he'll sign a paper that says he had great, great experience, wonderful years at CNN. He was privileged to work with all the amazing journalists at CNN. That should be singular. Maybe it shouldn't be plural. And then he'll show up probably on PBS or maybe over there. Is Russia Today still out there? Because I'm sure they'd like them. I do know the Babylon Bee. Yes, that Babylon Bee immediately offered Brian Stelter a job. Can you believe it? Yes, it happened. Before this thing, before the ink was even dry on Brian Stelter's termination papers, he was offered a gig from the Babylon Bee, perfectly timed for the weekend fun. Babylon Bee makes public job offer to Brian Stelter after ouster from CNN. Ryan Saavedra over at the Daily Wire has the story, and it really was funny. They did it via tweet, of course, because they're back on the Twitter again, offering offering Stelter a job. Oh, it's wonderful. They said, hey, Brian Stelter, would you be interested in working for the Bee? We're looking for talent with experience putting out funny fake news. You come highly recommended. Shoot me a DM if you're interested. Seth Dillon over at the Babylon Bee, very, very clever guy. So the Stelter tributes will happen. We have a special montage that we will play probably in the second hour of the show today. We have to make sure we get to all, because we have topics galore today. We have to talk about what happened in the affidavit and Goliath story. Michael Piercy came up with that clever one yesterday because pretty much nothing happened, but we'll talk about it. And we have to talk to you at 888-630-9625. You're welcome to join the conversation at any time. There is woke news galore today. There is woke news there's woke news out of England. Big woke news out of England. There's woke news out of several different places in this country. And there's some kind of crazy news, too. So we'll get into all the wokeness. There's border news that we have to talk about. There's a wonderful story about Mike Pompeo absolutely burying Adam Kinzinger. Kinzinger, who's now seeking employment elsewhere, probably, as we speculated yesterday, at MSNBC, where he might be hosting the morning show with Liz Lincoln, also known as Liz Cheney, after Joe and Mika bounced to CNN, because we kind of feel like that's happening too. So we'll talk about that. There sad news for the economy. Just when we were told there is no recession because it's been redefined, the housing market is in recession. Sixth consecutive month of drops for the housing market. That's not exactly good news. Not good news at all. We'll talk about that. There are monkeypox news today. There is a COVID research report that proves everything you knew about the government lockdowns. Everything. Everything you knew has been verified. And I will stress this several times today. If you have an iPhone, if you have an iPad, if you have a Macintosh laptop or computer, you need to upgrade your security system today, your operating system. Apple has put out a patch because they have kind of sent out an all-points bulletin about a potential hack, which is a complete takeover of your system, and that's not good for anybody. Because if they get into your system and have complete control, then they can get a hold of your banking records and so many other things. So if you're a Macintosh person, you're probably hearing this for the 10th time today. But if you're like me, you need to hear it 11 times before you'll actually stop, get out all your devices, and update it. That's all it takes. They think they've got the patch fixed. So that's the weird technical news today. And it's weird because Apple's always saying, yeah, we're pretty much unhackable compared to the Windows-type system. So if you're an Apple person, I am. Upgrade your systems. Update your systems. Phones are lighting up already early, which is good. Very good. Phil is in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Phil, welcome to the Chris Plant Show. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Oh, poor Brian. We're going to miss you, buddy. The first time I saw him, I said, oh, my God, it's young Uncle Fester from the TV show The Addams Family. And I'm telling you, to watch this guy just absolutely bomb every night. But yet, look, There were so many criminals around him working at CNN. As everyone got fired, suddenly Brian Stelter becomes the voice of honor at CNN. It was the most hilarious moment in TV journalism history to see this guy on television musing about what was wrong in his own network. So for his one- or two-person podcast, I'm sure there'll be three or four people watching when he says goodbye. But I can tell you this, nothing at CNN is going to change. And Brian Stelter, you were the perfect podcast host for the very small scope of the Criminal News Network. You were perfect. I'm actually going to miss seeing you at that dumpster fire of a network.
Wow. Phil has what we call schadenfreude. It's a feeling of joy at the misfortune of others. And leave it to the Germans to create such a word, but the schadenfreude was all over social media yesterday at the announcement of Brian Stelter and his departure from CNN and the announcement of the cancellation of a 30-year program. Imagine that. That program was running for 30 years. He didn't start there, as I said earlier. He was just the latest, like the last 8 years. He was over there at Unreliable Sources. More to go, more tributes from you and others. Plus, some important midterm polling updates. Yesterday, things were looking grim for certain parts of the GOP. And Mitch McConnell weighed in yesterday, too. He's not exactly Captain Happy Pants. But we'll get you all the information you need. Plus, as I said, it's a Friday, so you're welcome to join the party. Friday, Luya to ya. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using Upside, the free app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back just for buying the gas I was going to buy anyway.
But is it a hassle to use?
No, it's super fast and easy, and I can cash out whenever I want.
That's a total no-brainer. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MILE for a $5 bonus on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MILE for a $5 bonus on your first tank. That's code MILE for a $5 bonus.
Who are you? I'm you, from the future. What do you want? I want to tell you about Dave. Dave has your future money. Spend it on whatever you need. With extra cash from Dave, you can get up to $500 instantly with no interest and no credit check. Download Dave today when you go to dave.com/radio. That's dave.com/radio. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC.
How long does it take to tackle a home project? With Angie, you could cross it off your list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need. Indoor, outdoor, repair, or redesign. And we handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. You don't have to lift a finger, except to tap the screen or click the mouse. Plus, Angie is free to use. So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too. Now, during this challenging season, with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up, MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 29 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is.
And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using Upside, the free app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back just for buying the gas I was going to buy anyway.
But is it a hassle to use?
No, it's super fast and easy, and I can cash out whenever I want.
That's a total no-brainer. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code PLAY for a $5 bonus on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code PLAY for a $5 bonus on your first tank. That's code PLAY for a $5 bonus.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Is it moral? Is it ethical to be launching rockets and flying off to space and spending all this money and burn all this fuel in an age of climate crisis?
There he is, Brian Stelter. I've got an entire file full of Brian Stelter memories that I will be sharing with you today as we wave goodbye. We wave goodbye to unreliable sources, Mr. Stelter leaving CNN, and we'll celebrate his career. Yes, air quotes around the word celebrates. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant here on the Chris Plant Show on a Friday. There's also good news. I saw this advertisement for a new film, and I think it's amazing that the culture is finally being addressed by our side of the aisle. Then our side of the aisle is finally saying we're going to step into the world of culture and start making real changes. Yeah, with books and programs like you saw from Matt Walsh when he put out the What is a Woman, which is a fascinating documentary style piece of actual factual delivery that's really needed. And then there is a new film called My Son Hunter, which is about to debut. And I think it's a production of the Daily Wire, and I cannot wait to see it. It is a recreation of the Hunter Biden story, a story that has been really buried by the mainstream media, intentionally buried, and now that there's nothing we can really do about it, maybe we can do a little bit, but we should have had the Hunter Biden story on every network, every newspaper, front page, asking whether or not Joe Biden was the big guy, as Tony Bobulinski told us, as Hunter basically said in the emails that we now see. But this all was buried. So now maybe we'll get some attention paid to it. But My Son Hunter, remember, he's the smartest man Joe Biden knows. Just want to put that out there. Yesterday, of course, there was the hearing in Florida with many of the media outlets demanding, asking, pleading for the release of the unredacted affidavit that triggered the entire raid with 30-plus agents, FBI agents, going through Mar-a-Lago, Donald Trump's home. And we were told, well, maybe a little bit. Maybe we'll give you a little bit. The judge yesterday saying he'd like to redact parts of it. And, of course, we got exactly what we talked about the other day when we got kind of the cover sheet, like if you were going into Kinko's to fax something to someone, they'd make you buy a cover sheet and pay an extra buck. We kind of got the cover sheet, but we didn't get too much other information. There's not too much more that we know today. And the judge has given both sides a week now to give greater arguments as to why more or less should not be released. So now we have to wait another week. Start playing the calendar game with me. This is going to trickle out a little bit at a time until the midterms. The midterms. And why? It's not really about Donald Trump at this point, I don't believe. I think this is now more about smearing anyone with an R after their name and making the midterms tougher for Republicans because, well, they're associated with that Donald Trump guy, and you know they're looking at him. It's Opelka in for Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
If you trust the government,
If you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Temperatures are heating up outside. Cool down as you stroll through Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. If you're searching for a unique gift for a wedding, anniversary, or special occasion, Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, they have exactly what you're looking for. They have tumblers, goblets, plates, teacups, and saucers, silverware, jewelry, and jewelry boxes, necklaces, earrings, elegant pins, rings, cufflinks, and more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Saw those pictures in the corner of the screen a few moments ago. The first military flight carrying an emergency supply of baby formula has just landed near Indianapolis, Indiana. Baby formula flown in on a military plane. This is part of the Biden administration's Operation Fly Formula as Americans are coping with a nationwide shortage. The pallets of baby formula were flown here from Germany. This staff, the master sergeant overseeing the shipment, telling his staff, quote, "We are literally saving babies." But this is both a failure as well as a success. The existence of this plane is a failure of the government and a failure of corporations as well, even though these pictures today are meant to symbolize a success.
We're going to miss him because he actually, on occasion, could do journalism. That's Brian Stelter. Brian Stelter, who's leaving CNN, invited to leave, told to leave, shown the door, given the boot, whatever you want to call it. He's gone. As the people in Brooklyn would say, gone the lagoo, Brian. Yeah, he occasionally could do journalism while he also then could create the absolute stupid statement about Michael Avenatti as a possible Democrat nominee. I wonder if the ladies on The View are thinking about, maybe Brian could be a new chair on The View. Who knows? I think he's going to go to PBS and maybe MSNBC, too. It's Opelka in for Plant on The Chris Plant Show. Happy Friday to you. You made it to Friday. Congratulations. A lot to get to, a lot to cover about yesterday and the hearing with the judge about unsealing the affidavit. But, you know, there's so many stories related to this. I do believe it's a trickle out. It's a trickle out to go, as I said just a few minutes ago, all the way up to the midterms. Because it's all about painting Republicans as bad folks and trying to tie all of this to January 6th. And yesterday we had a clip we played from that, a couple of clips from that alien, James Carville. And James Carville kind of leaked out one of the plans, and the plan is to demonize Republicans. And there were two clips. Maybe if you weren't here late yesterday, we should replay those clips if they're handy, Michael. Can we share with the audience the fabulous slur and slams that Mr. Carville put on anyone who thinks differently or is a thinking person?
The problem the Republican Party has is they got really stupid people that vote in their primaries. And when you have that, you're going to get in really stupid people demand to have really stupid leaders. And that's where the Republican Party is now in India.
Now, they're going to try and distance, the Democrats are going to try and distance themselves from this space alien. And I just wonder what Mary Madeline, his wife, thinks, because she's a Republican. So is she a stupid person? Well, maybe for marrying you, that's her decision, though I never thought of Mary Madeline as anything other than brilliant. But there was more from this interview with Jimmy Carville from outer space.
People in the Republican Party are evil. Our people are kind of silly. Their people actually, racism is evil. All right? Misogyny is evil. I'm sorry. A pronoun is, to me, is, okay, fine. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if you want to be a vegan, I don't care. Eat what you want to eat. All right? But that's not the same thing.
So now you're an evil, misogynistic racist if you are Republican. Kind of a gross generalization, is it not? Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's awful. It's awful, but this is akin to, if not worse than, the basket of deplorables. But this is the plan. This is the plan the Democrats are going to put into place leading up to the midterms now. They're going to try and paint everyone who votes with Trump or for Trump as an evil, misogynistic racist. That's exactly the words that came out of one of the most famous consultants of the Democratic Party, one of the gods of the Democratic political class. Carville's 77 years old. And yesterday I heard Jessica Tarlov kind of diminishing him or attempting to distance the Democrats from Carville, saying, oh, he's a 77-year-old guy who's done a lot of good things in the past. Well, if 77 is too old, then 79, almost 80, is really too old to be president, is it not? Joey Biden, headed there. Very interesting. Patricia's in Washington, D.C., joining the Chris Plant Show with Mike Opelka. Patricia, welcome to the conversation.
Yes, since it's Friday and we can say anything. Well, I don't believe anything that Biden has done is legal because he had dementia or various forms of old age cognitive ability. Even when he was running in the basement, he had cognitive difficulties when he took the oath of office. And every day since, it's like he can barely put two words together now. So I don't see how anything he's done is legal. Who knows 10 minutes after he says something if he even remembers his own name. And the way they go after former President Trump for the 25th Amendment on the mental issue. But I'm just saying I don't consider anything he's done as legal. Cabinet positions, everything, things he signed, anything.
Well, just Patricia, saying, that's a nice dream to have, but unfortunately I don't think we have any way to make that claim work or make it happen, because then you'd have to remove everybody and everything. And as of this point, he's the president. His vice president is the vice president. His cabinet is the cabinet. We're stuck with them. And until we change things, like until we get a House and Senate controlled by conservatives, good, strong conservatives, we're in trouble. And they are running roughshod over us. So I agree with you. He's not a man whose mind is actually even close to being the right cognitive skill level for holding the office he has. But it's not something we're going to be able to do anything about until 2024. But in the short term, in the immediate term, the midterms are the thing. And we have our work cut out for us. But thank you. You're always welcome here. You know, I can't walk around saying, well, not my president, because then I'm going to sound like all those people who during the Trump administration were going, he's not my president. Yeah, well, then why are you still here? Anyone who said, I'm going to Canada and didn't, I just have no no time for you. But I did talk about the midterms. And we should talk about Mitch McConnell, because yesterday Mitch McConnell was asked about the midterms. Mitch McConnell was asked as to whether or not he thought he was in Kentucky for an event, and he was asked whether or not the GOP was going to take over Congress. And he said he didn't think the House was a problem, but the Senate is not looking good. And there are several groups that are putting out polling data saying that the Senate's not looking good. And one of the places that they talked about, one of the most important places they talked about, was Ohio. And Ohio is a place that we thought we were in a good spot. That Ohio was going to be another red, it's a red state. It had been looking like a red state. And then suddenly we start getting polling data that says, oh, that's not too good. But yesterday, just yesterday, we saw that Tim Ryan, who is the Democrat, he's a member of the House right now, Tim Ryan is the Democrat who starts talking like Donald Trump whenever he can, is now starting to sweat because J.D. Vance has pulled ahead. J.D. Vance, on the latest polling data in Ohio by Emerson, pretty reliable, shows Vance is ahead by at least 3 points, and he had been behind by more than five. Republican Governor Mike DeWine is ahead by 16 points. That tells me, because the top of the ticket, especially in a state like Ohio, kind of gets the benefit, get the halo effect, as they call it. Mike DeWine is up 16 points over his Democratic competition. And in the generic ballot in Ohio, which is kind of important, in the generic ballot, Republicans are up 10 points, with Biden's approval rating under 40%. So the Emerson College polling, which came out yesterday, is really strong where we have been seeing weakness in previous polling in that state. And the closer and closer we get, a lot of the polling data will obviously get tighter and tighter, it seems. But in a state like Ohio, which has been pretty damn strong in terms of the GOP, I think this is a great indicator of positive things that are coming. But McConnell, he's kind of sounding the alarm. And it sounds like he's very worried. So is he trying to rally the base and say, hey, we gotta stand up with Mitch and get going? Or is he telling the truth? I'm not sure which way this is going for Mitch, because you would think he'd want to be the leader again. Wouldn't you want to preside over the Senate again, especially if the House now has a majority in the hands of the Republicans, and try and save the country? I don't know. There's some people that say no, that he doesn't want it, but we will see. I'm not the biggest Mitch McConnell fan. I give him one gigantic credit for what he did to keep Merrick Garland off the Supreme Court. But for Mitch McConnell, we would have Merrick Garland on the Supreme Court, and God knows what damage he would have done. Now, in a couple of key Senate races that are out there right now, key Senate races like the one in Pennsylvania, this guy who is the lieutenant governor in Pennsylvania, the guy that he's got this bald head, a weird beard, wears a hoodie and cargo shorts wherever he goes, Democrat John Fetterman, is a guy who we're now starting to see the Republicans are putting out videos from Fetterman in his own words that I think are going to ring true with the people of Pennsylvania. Because right now the guy's got a big lead over Dr. Oz. He's got a gigantic lead over Dr. Oz. It's 10 points. And that's a whole bunch. And that's tough for Dr. Oz to overcome. But you got Fetterman's videos out there from previous years telling actually what he believes.
And that's why I endorsed Bernie Sanders in 2016, because I believe he is where the party needs to be and where the party should be. He and I agree on virtually every issue.
So Fetterman agrees with Bernie Sanders on virtually every single issue. He also wants to see at least one third of the violent felons released from prisons. He also wants to legalize heroin, not just marijuana for recreational use, but heroin. and have government-funded safe injection sites.
I think it's important that we as a society have all the options on the table, including needle exchange, which is only technically legal in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and even safe injection sites that are being considered, like, say, in Philadelphia. I'll never forget the meeting that I had down at the DSCC where they, you know, evaluate you and your campaign and your candidacy. And one of the things that I kept talking about was the opioid crisis. And they were just like, wait a second, what are you talking about? Like, you want to legalize heroin. I think it's important.
Yeah, he does. He wants to legalize heroin. We have an opioid crisis. And yeah, heroin is on the opioid list. But we have an opioid crisis that's really at our border. We have an opioid crisis because the drug cartels in league with China are forcing fentanyl through our southern border. And I don't know if you've seen the story today. It's yet another story out from the Daily Wire doing some great reporting today that the cartels have now decided they're going to make the fentanyl pills that they're pushing through our southern border and into all our cities. The fentanyl and the opioids that have killed over 100,000 people in the last year, over 100,000, I think it was 107,000 in terms of overdoses, they're now making them look like candy. They look like little tasty bits of candy. They're multicolored. It's almost like fentanyl Skittles is coming across the border. And this guy wants to legalize heroin and set up safe injection sites. If we would secure the border, we would prevent a lot of the opioid problems in this country. But people like John Fetterman don't want the border secured. That's not what it's about. I've got more news on a Senate candidate out of Wisconsin that we have to talk about as well. Plus, some fun from CNN that doesn't include Brian Stelter. Oh, there's a lot coming up today, and your calls are always welcome at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. It's Opelka in for Plant on the Chris Plant Show.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Dak Prescott here. Why do I choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because better sleep elevates my game. Only my Sleep Number 360 smart bed helps me fall asleep faster, keeps me cool, and effortlessly adjusts for my best sleep. The result? 28 minutes more restful sleep a night. That's more focus, more edge, and more highlights. And that means more wins for all of us.
Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too. Now, during this challenging season, with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up, MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 29 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
American Financing is the lender you want on your side when it comes to buying a home. Whether you're looking for a starter home or you're ready for something bigger, they've got you covered. From custom home loans to fast closings and everything in between, you can always expect the best deal. Just call 866-886-2026. That's 866-886-2026 or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Eve Terrell Paul. She's author of a book called Hungry.
Identifying yourself by what you don't eat on its surface can seem silly. A lot of these behaviors are driven by things like loneliness. Food on social media is a social currency, but also a way to facilitate connection.
Join Mike Carruthers and guests for Something You Should Know. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using Upside, the free app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back just for buying the gas I was going to buy anyway.
But is it a hassle to use?
No, it's super fast and easy, and I can cash out whenever I want.
That's a total no-brainer. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code PLAY for a $5 bonus on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code PLAY for a $5 bonus on your first tank. That's code PLAY for a $5 bonus.
And welcome to Friday on the Chris Plant Show. It's Mike Opelka wrapping up a week of filling in for Chris. Thanks for hanging out with me. There is a lot of woke news that we will have to get to today. And there's some weird news, too, like the former British colony of Gambia has issued a statement out of its government tourism agency. They've sent a notice to the women of Great Britain. Please stop coming to our country to have sex with the young men here. And it's mostly for the older women, they're saying, which I had no idea that this was going on. Apparently, the nation of Gambia has become a magnet for women of a certain age, mature women who are looking for sexual congress and willing to, let's just say, compensate their partners for it. And Gambia doesn't like being known as the place where women of a certain age can go and have sexual congress. So they put out a statement. I had no idea. But then again, I'm not a woman of a certain age. We have many, many things to talk about, but some of you are ringing in. Tom is in Fredericksburg, Maryland today. Tom, welcome to the Chris Plant Show. What's on your mind?
Michael, I'd like to talk about what's happening in Alaska.
Well, Chris is there, so I'm sorry I only have my news reports, but you're welcome to. Yes, sir.
So we have an election in which Lisa Murkowski is running against Kelly Shibaka. Mm-hmm. Lisa's been in office for many, many years, as you know. And she's being supported by Mitch McConnell and the Republicans, even though she is running as an independent because she doesn't have the support of the Republican Party in Alaska. And this is just indicative of the way the Republican Party is being run, because you have a candidate who is listening to the constituencies trying to oust Murkowski, who has voted against the interest of Alaska to be part of the Washington cabal all these years, and you've got Mitch McConnell putting money into her campaign against who the Republican Party in Alaska support.
Shibaka, or it's her name starts with a T, I believe they were neck and neck in the ranked choice voting, were they not?
They were, and they set up this ranked voting through Lisa and the Republicans putting that in place to give her a chance to be elected again. But you're right, it's neck and neck, but all of the Republican money from D.C. and the Republican Party in Washington is going to Murkowski, who's not supported by the Republican Party in Alaska. It just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. And it does prove what Donald Trump has talked about for years now, is that the establishment has a grip on much of the party politics in the states, and they need to start listening to the people. You know, what Liz Cheney suffered was because she wasn't listening to the voters, and she was playing D.C. politics. And I would keep an eye on that race, because we're probably going to see more rallies, maybe featuring Sarah Palin and Lisa Murkowski's opponent. That's going to be a hot one. It's Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.